want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
Nothing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
We have made it into the DJ studios here at CBS Television City.
And not that we already don't feel like a worthless crap piece of meat.
Yeah, we feel that way every day, all day.
Today more so. Kevin, we've been told, we're with Kevin James.
Kevin James, who has a brand new show on CBS.
Now, we've been told that the reason that we are last in the food chain here, or next to last, is so that you could spend more time with us.
More quality time, Kevin.
Do you have an afternoon? Because I am here for the duration.
Yay!
Yes, we do have the afternoon.
Good. That's good stuff.
Now, first off, let me say, it's beautiful to see somebody as fat as we are
who's actually on television.
Right? Right.
Give it to the chubby people.
Yes.
Come on. Applause for that. Yes. Applause for that.
God. Thank goodness.
And your new show, Queen of Sheba.
Sheba, Sheba, Sheba.
That's right.
That is.
Now, you are on the Raymond show, right?
Right. That's what actually spun this whole thing off for me. You know, they saw me write an episode with Ray and act on that show, and that's how I got this little dingy.
And we were told that, you know, you're a friend of his on the show, and also in real life you guys are talking.
Yeah, we're buddies
really
as stand-ups. We met in stand-up, and then he got this, and that's what scares us both, because he's goofy, I'm chubby, and we occupy an hour of prime time.
Now, what kind of pressure is that? Because, first off, you know, Monday Night Football's on against
the
show.
Yeah, that's rough.
And now they move Raymond so that Raymond is like, you know, what do they call that time slot? That's the
Ally McBeal time slot.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, I hate that show.
I know.
No problem against that show.
He's gonna do well, though. They're going to realize that he has the best show on TV. And that's it.
Do you feel the pressure now to give Ray the lead-in?
I have to, you know. I'm the guy leading off for him. And, you know, I want to do well, you know. But I follow Cosby, which is a great show, so.
Yeah, he's okay. I've heard of him before.
You know him, right?
Yeah, because you worked on the Raymond show, and you both have similar backgrounds in stand-up comedy.
Right.
I think that many people will agree that Everybody Loves Raymond is the best-written sitcom on TV right now. And
Mike, excuse me.
Yes?
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh,
that's
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I know it's not a CBS show, but I got to come strong with it.
Of course.
It.
And Nell Carter's making a comeback. Nell Carter.
Give me a break.
She ever left.
That's right. Come on.
Do you know that as we do the show today, Nell Carter is in this building?
I know she is.
She's here to take a match game.
I love her.
And when we were outside, how come we didn't see Kay James in the executive parking?
We combed the executive parking lot. We were actually looking for your private parking spot.
My spot is at a 7-Eleven on La Cienega for now.
Now, you know,
I have to prove myself.
We didn't notice Ray's spot either. However, now, at first we were going to park in Martin Mull's spot, but then we upgraded. We saw Bill Maher because we hate that guy. So we thought
Martin Mull only had a temporary little piece of paper, and Maher had a permanent little sticker.
Yeah. However, we found out that, like, the Maher one, along with the George Hamilton and the Vicki Lawrence, they're like Velcroed.
Yeah.
What do you got to do at CBS to get
to get the thing branded?
Yeah.
Bolted on.
Yeah.
Bolted onto the concrete.
I think you got to be a Cosby. You really do. That's the type of weight you got to hold. Otherwise, they can just, you know, they make mine out of fly paper, I think, if I have one.
Do you have a spot in the executive lot?
Not here, because we don't tape here. I'm over at Sony, which is the Sony Studios.
Oh, Sony.
City.
Sony.
Sony. And,
hello, Kevin James. Welcome to
nice
Arrow
to be here.
This is your parking
spot. Good to see you.
Right next to 7-Eleven.
Now, listen, you go from being a guy that writes on Raymond to being a guy who's on the Raymond show,
right.
And now you get your own show. At this point, do you open your door and do they just back up a truck full of money?
They, if they do, they're not stopping at the 7-Eleven where I'm parked, and that's what I want them to do. Actually, it's, the money is very nice, actually.
What is the marker as far as, like, when you talk about Seinfeld money for syndication? How many years do you have to be on before you can...
100 episodes, Mike.
Is it 100 episodes?
You know what it is? I don't even know. It's the... Because now the money's going up for everybody. It's the success of the show. You know,
right.
It can happen, you know, like Drew Carey shot up, and,
yeah.
You know, I mean, all these...
Hey, there's another fat guy making it good for all of
can
us
you
other
believe
fat guys.
It? I know. He paved the way for me, in a way.
Mm-hmm. If you wouldn't mind, would you just write down your weekly salary there, please?
Do you want it?
Per episode.
Per episode?
Per episode,
yes. Okay.
Per episode.
We're very excited. Money means a great deal
okay.
to us. We
ready?
Don't have any, but
ready?
It means a great
ready?
Deal
ready?
To
us. Don't goof with us.
I'm not goofing.
He's
okay.
Not goofing.
Oh.
wait.
Okay.
$2. Per lunch. There it is.
Right. $2 per lunch.
All right. That's he's not going to tell us, Don.
I'm going to guess.
Take a guess.
I'm going to guess that. How many episodes are you guaranteed to do this year?
We're doing 13 so far that's been ordered.
Hey, and listen, excuse me. You're not doing a ventriloquist act, right? You're not Danny O'Day. Then
You were here last year. You remember us,
this
right?
This guy might as well. It's highly unprofessional. Please move away. We were talking with Kevin James. Every time we ask you a question, that guy's shooting me the hairy eyeball.
I'm ready to go.
Okay.
I don't need anybody.
We hate the Hollywood hangers-on.
I would imagine that, let's say you got a 20-episode commitment.
I don't have 20.
How many do you have?
13. Well,
we
got ordered 13.
13.
Which means they can yank you at any time.
That means you got to be taken down, what do you think you could get at least, what, 100,000 an episode?
You're crazy.
Am I
more than that?
Look at you trying to do this. What are you making?
There you go. All right.
Right back at you there, Don.
Okay.
Come on, Don. Lay it on me.
All right. Well,
I'll look at the other guys. Cut the tape. Dub it.
Don't roll tape on that.
Yeah.
I make... Well, I've been at it for 25 years.
25 years.
And goddamn it.
Okay, wait a second. I'm going to start something here. Mike, what are you making? How long have you been at it?
I've been at it for about 2 years.
For 2 years?
I've been at it for about 20 years, and he's been at it for about 25 years.
Okay, so now
together, we've been together.
I want to see the difference between a five-year...
We've been together for 13 years.
13 years together. Now, here we go. This is the real story.
It's fun. This is. I like it when people turn the tables.
Do you guys get out together much? Is there any...
Do we get out? Is there any love? Yes,
there is.
Can't you feel the love here?
Okay,
right
well,
now?
I'm going to separate this love. We're going to find out what each of you make,
okay.
And then we're
going to
see who's worth it and who thinks they need a bump.
I make more.
You do?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Does Mike know this? I mean, did you know
I
this?
Do know this, and I've always said every year I have huge tantrums saying I'm worth more, they should pay me more, and we have fights about it. No, actually, we've never had a problem. We have never had a problem with that.
The reason we haven't ever had a problem
because
is
we are both poor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And
now,
wallow in poverty.
And now you're what's your nut now? Come on, give it to me. What do you make?
Well,
listen,
is that before
what?
Or after the stock market crash?
You be honest, and you write down, I won't even say it on the air, you write down your salary, and I'll write down mine.
But mine is tied in, see?
What do you mean yours is tied in?
I'm tied into the show, so I don't know what mine is.
Well, I'm tied into this show, too.
Right.
Yeah, well, we get, you know, the syndicated thing, The syndicated thing, if it actually, you know, get more cities.
Right.
You know, that
right.
type of thing.
What kind of car do you drive? Let's gauge your wealth that way, Kevin.
It's not great. I drive a 97, I just got a Cherokee, a Jeep Cherokee.
A Jeep Cherokee?
Yeah.
You like it?
It's a nice one, the good one. Why, is it good?
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, I'm a Chevy Suburban man, but I mean, do you like the Cherokee?
I do. I'm not a car guy though. You know,
I love a Suburban, Kevin.
Really?
Oh, big man's car.
Yeah, that's
all
what I need.
The way.
That's exactly.
Absolutely.
If I could, I'd have a dump truck. Or
yeah,
just something where I can get in.
You like a car you can throw? And I'm not. You know, I don't have any deal with Chevy, and we don't do. You know,
right.
If you want a car that you can throw a lot of crap in the back of,
absolutely.
Oh man, you
got to
try.
That's
it.
The way to go.
Test drive it.
I will do it.
Please
I don't care.
Do.
I will buy it.
Big V8 engine, big powerful vehicle.
Now, what about your home? Is it a Hollywood Hills? Is it
Nope. I live in an apartment in
really, you rent
West Los Angeles. Yes, I do.
Beautiful.
You know why? I mean, this thing could go away tomorrow, and then where am I?
That's
you know?
Smart way of looking at it, though.
It
That's
is
a smart
now.
Way of approaching.
I used to live in West Hollywood when I got a job out here 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I lived. We drove by it on the way to work today, off Kings Road,
right
in West Hollywood.
You showed us where you fell out of the balcony.
I had night terrors. And we were on the second floor, and I had a bad dream, and actually ripped the sliding glass door off the hinges and jumped off the balcony.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Are you a sound sleeper?
I'm out. Once I'm
really?
Yeah, I'm gone.
But we had no idea. It's like we have been in Los Angeles for 5 minutes.
Right.
Oh, is Raymond here?
Uh-oh.
Your buddy Raymond is here.
Well,
Ray Romano is here.
I already gave him my salary, so you got to get yours.
$2 per lunch.
Now,
all right,
listen.
Thank Kevin for answering. Star of Everybody Loves Raymond
Kevin,
is
no,
here.
No offense, but, you know, the man is here now.
Absolutely. I will absolutely be here.
However, I would love to finish this little interlude that we've had. So I jump off the balcony, right?
Right.
And the paramedics have
you
to
came
come.
At a great time, Ray. This is terrific. We're at the John Jumps Off the Balcony part of the program.
But
you know what? I'm already up to date. I can already figure it out.
I can see that from the elbow.
Yeah. My wife and I had only been in L.A. for like 2 days when we got that apartment on King Street, right?
Right.
And we thought, hey, what a great neighborhood, what a great apartment. I swear to God, we've been here 3 days, and they had a gay pride parade down the road that we lived on.
If only you could have jumped off the balcony then. That would have added to it, I would think.
So we had no idea that we were like living in the gayest place on earth, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But
so they're bringing you guys along. you guys are buddies. Now that we get by the gay pride parade,
wow.
You guys are friends, and is this in real life, or is this complete?
The gay pride parade, yeah. You guys are friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
How close are you?
With that? Yeah.
Exactly.
How do you think I got the show?
You know, Kevin was asking us questions like that, like how long we've known each other and then how close we are. And we told Kevin that we're lovers. And the question is, Ray,
I don't think you can work with a guy for 13 years without having some sort of sexual relationship.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just to get it over with.
5 years, you got to rub a thigh.
Absolutely. It's important. It's important to get that closeness.
Now, the only pressure is you're afraid you're going to like it. All right, we better stop now. We better back it up. Back, clip, and go.
Raymond, you will not only like it, you will love it.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, it's at this point that,
it's freedom. It's,
you know,
freedom is what it is.
They have already so orchestrated this that they said, you'll get Kevin,
mm-hmm.
and then Ray will come, and they'll do like a segue. They'll do some of their buddy-buddy shtick, and then Kevin leaves, and then we get to kiss Ray's ass for a little while.
Kiss Ray's ass. Go ahead. I'm here to do the same.
Okay, all right. Well,
would you
then,
like to go first? Would you like to
what it tastes like?
Chicken.
Kevin, I will. If you're going to stay, let's do a break.
Yeah, let's do a quick break.
Let's do a break, and then we'll come back. And yes, right, keep them both. Now listen, CBS lady.
It's a break we hate each other.
CBS lady, then don't take Kevin away, then.
Leave Kevin here.
If he's going to stay with Raymond, okay?
We've waited a long time for these gentlemen, and we won't allow you to take them away.
Thank you. You're our property now. Okay, a quick break, and we will be right back. All right, now listen, we're back with Kevin James, and more importantly, we have Ray Romano, and Ray, I will tell
you. Honest
lap. I will tell you, Ray, that when we have to give away CBS crap on our show,
right.
That there's a slogan that says, watch for the premiere of your favorite CBS shows starting September 21st. I amended that, and it says, watch for the premiere of your favorite CBS show, because, now I haven't seen Kevin's show.
Right.
So, in my humble opinion, you got the only decent show on CBS, and we love your show, and we are not like all these other fat disc jockeys kissing her.
I need a puke bag.
No, seriously. Can I say
you were the one that said his ass tasted like chicken.
Yeah.
All right.
Teriyaki.
All right.
Your show, Raymond.
It's open.
What, the bottle of water?
Do you like to open it yourself,
yeah,
Ray?
Yeah, of course.
You've got to hear the clicks. You've got to hear everything going on.
You're also a big star. I wouldn't drink that. That may be tainted.
Not only that, I was paranoid before I became a big star.
Mr. Romano would like another bottle of water, please, with the seal unopened.
For the love of God, do not open his water before you put it in his hand.
All right, now how much pressure, Ray, is there being basically the only good thing that CBS has?
Yeah.
No, come on. Yeah. Hey, how's it like carrying the whole network on your shoulders?
Say part is, I don't, it's light. All right. Now there's the pressure. That's how funny I am.
That's incredible articulation right there. It's light. We'll write that down. You do not. Are you saying you do not feel the pressure, the overwhelming pressure of this network that is just thrust upon you?
Yes, he does.
You know what the pressure is? Is just to make the show funny. All that crap, and you know, over the summer they were saying that we were the next Seinfeld. That was pressure enough.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, being compared to him. But when it comes down to writing the show, that's the pressure, just making the show, the next week's show, as funny as it can be, you know? Whatever, all that stuff, that takes care of itself.
Well, they are. I mean, the shows are funnier than the other, and we, like a lot of people, just happen to stumble onto your show. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's how it is. I mean, it's a stumble-on, word-of-mouth show.
And what's a pisser about it is, like with Jerry Seinfeld, not to throw the comparison, but we saw Jerry Seinfeld before it was popular, and we started talking about it. So, hey, this is a funny show. Well, we started watching your show, and it's like, I don't know, 6 months later, all of a sudden, there's this huge buzz. You're on the cover of the magazines, and we're screaming our heads off going, hey, you know what?
We knew that.
God damn it. We found that guy first. We watched that show first. Thank you, Kevin. Just
By the way, Kevin, bring the car around.
Kevin just hit the bell. And besides the fact that your show is so well written and you got a great cast, your wife on that show.
Yeah, she's great.
We have voted her the most doable mom on TV.
Well,
certainly more than Tim Allen's wife.
That was her goal coming out of high school.
To be the most doable mom on TV.
Well, you know, she's pregnant this year, and we're hiding it, so you can watch for that. Watch,
so she's pregnant in real life?
Yeah, watch how many laundry baskets she's going to be carrying this year. And this is the first year she was pregnant also.
Now, that's she is so good on that show.
Yeah, she's great.
Doris Roberts, fantastic. Peter Boyle is great on that show.
Yeah.
It seems to me that when sitcoms, family-based sitcoms, are successful, you have so many parts that are integral. I mean, it's difficult to lose anyone. How instrumental were you in putting that cast together? Or were these people that you said, hey, Peter Boyle, he's going to play your father.
Well,
this is Doris, she'll be your mother. How did that work?
Well, that happened. Brad Garrett was cast. You know, they auditioned and they chose Brad Garrett before I was even in L.A.
Oh, do your. Come on, he does him.
Everybody loves Raymond.
And he also does a killer you, Ray. Hold on a second.
Oh, no. I don't want to do that now. That's all right, go ahead. Yeah,
he's doing my. Here you go. Hit it, Kevin.
Yeah,
does Kevin do it, too?
Yeah, we'll all be Raymond.
Oh, no.
Come on. My water.
Can I tell you
over.
Something? It's like a hack impression now. It's so easy.
It's not a tough one to do.
It's the Rain Man of
impressions. Your brother. That's a challenge. Yeah. On the show about 2 weeks ago, I did both your brother and you at the same time. That is a challenge. That is a tremendous challenge.
Having a conversation?
Yeah. I do a wicked Madeline Sweetin.
The daughter?
Yeah.
Let's hear her.
I'm kidding.
And you know what, Ray? That's another great thing about your show, is that when you have the kids on, they're really not on.
Not
you know what
all.
I mean?
Yeah.
Who needs to see the Olsen twins one more time?
Exactly. Well, that's what we want to make sure, that it's about the family. But it's not a family sitcom. It's
right.
You know, it's an adult sitcom.
Is she going to be dirtier this year?
You know, in our way, in our roundabout way, I mean, that's the problem, is there's not many characters on that show that can have sex. You know,
starting with you.
I'm married with four kids. But that's what's good, is the brother's going to move out. Brad Garrett's going to move out of the house.
Right.
And have his own, and start, he's breaking up with his girlfriend, and he's going to
Robert,
dating.
Robert. Robert will be moving
out. Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So I'm going to live like vicariously.
Oh, that'll be great.
What's great is I, Ray Romano, I'm living vicariously through Ray Barone, who's living vicariously through his brother. I'm like twice removed from the sex. But it's there.
Here's a question. As a guy that watches your show with my face roughly a half an inch away from the screen, especially when your wife's on, do you write it in the script for her to cream her hands every week?
Yeah,
anybody have any input on that one where you say, listen, I want her to take the lotion out at this point?
Because I want to tell you, every time you guys get in bed together and she creams her hands.
Creams her legs, too. That one time she creamed her legs, didn't
you
she?
You should see what didn't make the cut. She's creaming.
Is that something she does, or do you write that in, or is that just...
That's just her activity, her choice. It was, like I say, that's about all we can do, is cream the hands.
Will there be any scenes with you creaming your hands on this year's episode?
Go ahead, tell them about the lotion episode.
The all lotion episode.
Now, what about...
You put some cream on it.
What about Kevin being your good buddy, and here he is, your good friend, and you put him on your show, and he writes your show, and now he's got the show on that's on in front of your show.
Yeah. Here's a jive question that you guys have been asked before. What did you tell him, Ray? What advice did you give Kevin?
I told him, you're my lead-in. Don't choke on me. Don't blow it.
Mm-hmm.
Hand me some eggs. That's what I told him. He didn't get it.
And what are you taking away from this guy, Kevin, when with the debut of your show? And what are you going to be doing?
I take... what do I take away from it? Plot lines, delivery.
Yeah, they steal stuff.
Delivery.
Yeah. Hey, Ray did this. Maybe we could do it in rehearse.
So in your first show, you're going to go, oh, no.
That's how I open.
Are you going to have everybody combine a conveyor belt?
Exactly, like they did. Well, actually, you got to watch their opening credits this year.
My new nickname for Kevin is Six and Out.
That's what they call me, because that's where we're going to go. Six episodes.
Oh, six episodes. Six episodes. Yeah. Six and a half.
Inspirational, Ray. I'm glad you're giving him that support.
Yeah, I feel nice with it, too. He's warm and tingly inside when he says that.
Now, Ray, are you the richest guy now at CBS? I mean, I know Cosby's got all the money.
Yeah, you kidding? Yeah.
But, oh, now, will you write down... Will you write down your episodic worth?
Well, can I tell you something right now?
Yes.
I'm not joking. Excuse me.
We need water? Water for Mr. Romano?
No. No, okay, aside.
Yes.
I mean, I am negotiating right now, but as we speak, lowest paid cast member. You're looking at the lowest paid cast member on my show.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. No, I swear to God, I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my God.
We're in the middle of negotiating, you know.
When do you see that wrapping up? When do you think you'll be wrapping up that negotiation?
What time is it now? No.
You know what?
I don't know. Who knows?
Have you seen...
I don't know where my money goes.
Have you seen the zoo of people behind you? And when you just said that about your salary, do you know that they all went like...
So you got a good guy. You got a good guy, Ray. You got a guy that's going to hold him up, going to get you what you deserve. You're going to get all the money you need.
Yeah, I do. But look, my money goes to my wife, which goes to the. I don't even know what I. For as far as I know, I'm living off the land here.
Okay, well then write down your per episode.
No.
How much you make per episode?
This is mine.
Well, no, yeah, he wasn't honest.
Well, we're covering that up.
He just gets lunch, which makes him...
Right.
Rich. Paid. Very wealthy.
No, seriously.
Give me a ballpark. I guessed that Kevin would get $100,000.
Is he out of his mind?
Yeah.
Out of his
mind.
Well,
I read Entertainment Weekly, okay?
Well, not that episode. You didn't...
No, you're a little off.
A little off?
Not far.
For me?
Kevin's paid more than me as we speak. Yep.
Wow, that's a kick in the ass.
Well, he's got a nut to fill. Ring the bell.
You know what's scary? Literally, I'm hollow. I have whiffle balls.
Now, all right,
nuts to fill.
You're awkward with the salary, so I'll ask you something else. When you become like the next Jerry Seinfeld, please promise us that you won't become pompous like Jerry Seinfeld.
Too late.
I wish we had our tapes. When Jerry Seinfeld is talking on 60 Minutes or some show, and he describes the audience as a little child.
And the child doesn't know what it wants. And when we were listening to that, we said,
really?
What the hell happened to this?
Here's a guy that was a funny guy that had a funny show, and we liked watching his funny show, but it went from some point with him being a funny guy to like he's the king and we're his subjects.
Yeah.
Right? So do you promise me now you won't do that?
You know who keeps me in line? Can I tell you a story?
Yes,
my
please,
wife.
Please.
Might be a,
we got it in the leg. Don't worry.
The day after my show premiered, the first day, Kevin and I were out here. My wife and family were still in New York, and we were going to Vegas. It premiered on Friday night. We had a big party, and then Kevin and I were going to Vegas to kind of like golf and celebrate. So I called my wife up, and she was kind of being sarcastic. Well, have a good time. You're going to Vegas. So I kind of played around with her. I go, hey, listen up, sweet sister. Okay, you're talking to a guy who just his own show premiered. All right, millions of people just watch me. You know, I went on and on, and she said to that, to which he replied, you're still the dick I married. And that's what I have to remember. I am.
Yes, that's right.
Join the club.
And are you happy, Ray? Are you happy now? Are you truly happy?
Am I happy? Yeah, I can't be happy because then...
That's the Raymond we like.
I like that.
Right. Well, listen, you're a great guy for coming by, being such a big star and like hanging around with us.
And bring Kevin.
So it was nice of you to bring Kevin. I think you deserve... A gift. Both of you deserve. Are we going to do two? Let's do two photos.
Now, we'd like to give you a photo. If you would like it personally, that's okay, Kevin. If you'd like it personally autographed,
we can arrange that if you'd like it personalized.
Yeah. Okay.
Put it to. Can I make it to my wife and kids?
Yes, yeah, sure. And which one's your name?
To Anna.
Anna.
And the kids.
And the kids. Now, if I see this in the trash on the way out, I'm going to be real upset.
And tell them to go when they. Tell my wife.
Okay.
Oh, God. Come on.
Tell my wife, because she complains that I'm doing this, to go cry on a bag of money.
All right.
Come on.
Go cry.
Any opportunity.
On a bag. Do you mind if I use some X-rated language? Can I write on a bag of effing money?
Nah, because the kids are involved.
Okay.
And they'll give you a different word.
How old are your non-TV kids, Ray?
Eight. And twin fives.
Mm-hmm.
And a 6 month.
Wow.
Kevin's just sitting here singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat in his head.
I have it bumped in the earphones.
And Ray,
headphones.
I'd like you to also please take this Donna Mike key tag with you.
All right.
And,
appreciate it.
Kevin, we have the same for you, the same wonderful
I get one.
Here.
And
yes,
Kevin, we can put a salutation on your photo as well.
You go nuts on mine because this is for me.
Okay.
All right. I'm just going to put here, Kevin, don't trust.
You guys look different here.
Ray.
Yes, Ray, you are about the fifth person to mention that.
Okay, there you go.
Do you think I look better? I lost a lot.
Sitting.
Doesn't it look like we had a glue-on beard that we switched with? Now he's got the beard, and I don't. It's a confusing photograph.
It's kind of a mirror.
Can you see what I wrote to Kevin?
Yeah.
Kevin, I said, Kevin, don't trust Ray. I don't know why. I just put it on there.
I have that inscribed on my ass.
That tastes like chicken also.
Yes.
Right?
My own head
tastes like chicken.
This is a
tough interview.
I signed mine, Ray Hates You.
Okay.
So please take those with our best wishes. Kevin James.
Thank you.
We know your show will be great. And Ray Romano,
I'm
not kidding. You got a great show.
Good luck.
Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Okay.
Now let us talk about you.
There they go.
See you later.
That was fun.
He's a good guy, man.
They're both good guys. I hope that that Kevin's show is half as good as Ray's. It'll be a big hit.
Oh, who cares about that?
Yeah.
Ray Romano's the man, Mike. He's the piece of gold.
Man, that's great. And he's a grounded individual. That's my impression.
Pretty down to earth. Just worried about saying the word dick.
Yeah, didn't like it. On this show, you know, he would know that's like standard language.
Dick.
Now, you're not saying that particularly at anybody. That's just in general.
No.
We're working on our bad words. Some of the publicity people are here.
We were just marveling that Ray Romano said the word dick, and we were just commenting that we use that word all the time also.
But it doesn't sound like he would use it a lot, so we feel actually very honored. Privileged to have him use that. Now they all go, speak to your producer, please.
Now they're going to have a conference with Charles Broyhill, and this would be a good spot for us to do a break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So the old, the mask, the tragedy and the comedy mask. Is in your life sorrow and laughter, sorrow and happiness, are they the yin and yang of your persona of who you are?
I guess so. I would have to think so. I think it's not unlike the great surgeon who lives by the very nature of life and death being a part of his life. And he's hoping for life. The alternative is death. And I think that you tightrope walk through that kind of majestic nobleism. A man that's very noble that can save someone's life as a great surgeon. And I think that the same thing happens with a great, great comic who can give laughter and take away pain momentarily. We've been told that you cannot hurt while you laugh unless you hurt from laughing. That's a different kind of pain.
The Don and Mike Show.
That night was my son's birthday party. My wife invites the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Bill.
You like Fremen Glaze?
Hey, you bless it. I'll eat it.
She's not coming.
Who?
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
She needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think.
So what? No f***ing deity now?
Hey!
Occasional A-Hole. Don and Mike.
All right, now let's get right to phone destruction. And let's start with Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. Greg, where are you from?
I'm from Sterling.
Sterling, Virginia?
Yep.
Thank you for listening on the mighty WJFK-FM. Greg, how will you be destroying your portable or cellular phone for our amusement today?
Okay, well, I have a 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old.
Yes.
The 8-year-old's got a hammer. The 7-year-old's got a screwdriver. I'm sorry, the 7-year-old's got a frying pan, and the 5-year-old has a screwdriver.
Right. Keep killing me! And...
Come on, you guys, say something. Say hi, Donna Mike.
And you're going to have your kids destroy the phone?
Absolutely.
Are they wearing any kind of protective headgear?
Well, he's got a buzz cut. Does that count?
Oh, buzz cut?
Yeah. Hey,
well handled, Don.
There's Buzz.
Thank you, Buzz.
Huh.
I got two of them that have buzz cuts, actually.
Really? You got quite a little army there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Buzz likes that.
You like that, don't you, Buzz?
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
He likes the army. Buzz is very military.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew?
Oh, you want to destroy the phone, Sean?
Did you serve in the army, Buzz?
Wow.
Did you serve in the army?
Oh,
well, here he goes again. He's playing evasive. Did you serve in the army?
Wow.
Who, are you talking to me? I'm sorry.
No, we're trying to talk to Buzz.
So difficult sometimes.
Okay. Did you serve in the Army?
Oh, God. Buzz, I know it's difficult, but we're simply asking you, did you ever experience any kind of military service?
Yeah, yeah.
He okay, did. Thank
Good.
You.
Okay, thanks for the finally answering the question. Thanks.
You're really going to do this.
Oh, be quiet, Buzz.
Well,
don't say hmm to me.
Wow. He's still going on. Will you stop it? We're right in the middle of something. Oh, funny for you, maybe. funny for you.
Real funny for you, Buzz. Keep laughing it up, buddy.
All right, smarty newsy pants.
Right.
Right. Oh, wait. Yeah. Little back talk there, huh? What is that all about?
Oh.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's okay.
Very snide today, Buzz.
Yeah, at least he gave me that acknowledgement. He knew the
real
way. He knew. Hey. Hey, cut it out. Watch it, Burbank. Yourself.
Yeah, don't put your finger up to your cheek like that.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Yeah. It's easy to hide behind a microphone, son.
Yeah.
You enjoyed that comment, didn't you, Buzz?
Yeah.
Huh? Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy the line? Answer the question, Burbank. Did you enjoy the line?
Yeah.
He did.
Thank you.
Now sit there. Please just be quiet.
Yeah.
So frustrated. You heard him. Would you please be quiet?
Cool.
Good. Cool.
All right. Thank you, Buzz. Finally.
All right, Greg.
Yeah. I think my 8-year-old's going to hit me with a hammer if we don't, like, get going on this thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, excuse me. We're slowing you down here, Greg.
you know,
you do have small children there. You know, you got to be a little careful with small kids, especially like a 5-year-old.
It's true. And they're going to also scream at the top of their lungs.
That was the sound that
right over the top of his head. Okay.
All right, great.
Well, listen, we bear no responsibility for any sharp object that may hit your kids in the head like that guy on the Learning Channel the other night who had the Bowie knife in his head. Okay, ready? Greg, go ahead, please. Have your little rugrats destroy the phone.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to set the phone down on the floor, okay?
Yes, Father of the Year.
Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, when I count to three... Hold on, let me get the chair out of the way. One.
Where's Mommy at during all this?
Three, do it.
Mommy's at her house.
Mommy might be with her mommy. Keep killing me!
Okay, I'm sorry.
I got a bigger headache than when we had the mommy screaming for the Teletubbies.
How are the kids doing? They all right? Greg?
All right, I picked up on another phone.
Greg, how are the children?
The children are, they're intact, actually.
Okay.
And they're probably not going to go to sleep for the next 2 years.
All right, hold on there for a second, for goodness sakes.
Wasn't any fry baby, that's for sure.
That's the wildest one we ever had.
All right, let's go to Chris, who's listening to us in Wichita. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Thank you for listening on Talk Radio KFH. Chris, how do you plan on destroying your portable or cordless phone?
Well, I thought about it, and I drug out the trusty mower.
Ah, the mower.
Ah, the lawnmower.
An all-time classic. It always works.
That's a good one.
That's much better than having your hyperactive kids scream and stomp on the phone.
You think that guy was just sitting there going, all right, here's another Reese's peanut butter cup.
Here you go.
Eat up before a Don and Mike show starts.
We're all going to have Lucky Charms.
All right, Chris.
Yes.
Fire up that baby.
Okay, we'll give her a whirl up here in just a second.
And you got another phone to talk to us, right? All right.
Can you hear it?
Oh, yes, sir.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you guys.
Yes, yes, we can hear you.
All right.
And you got another phone handy for when you destroy that one, right?
Yeah, I got a backup one.
Okay, good. All right, let it go then, Chris. Let's
hear it. All right, here we go.
Here we go. Some real grade A phone destruction.
That's the part I love.
Uh-huh. Ooh, that's scary.
It is, Buzz. Yeah. It is. There's shards of plastic being hurtled through the air.
Buzz, would you just please be quiet?
You know what he means.
We're trying to do the show, Buzz.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, yeah. So you have to be a part of it.
Thank you, Dr. Smith.
Oh, nothing to fear.
Nothing to fear. Sounds like that lawnmower's in a holding pattern.
Well handled, Don.
Oh, pipe down, Buzz.
Wise guy. Who is this guy?
Yeah. It is amusing. Where's the man with the power?
I don't know. Hello?
Mike, I just don't know.
Man with the mower.
I just don't know.
Man.
Let's take another caller.
Hope he's not, like, pinned up against the wall.
He'd be the winner.
With his eye out.
Let's go to Ron. Hello, Ron.
How you doing, guys?
Ron, buddy, where are you calling from?
Annapolis.
You're listening on WJFK?
Halfway home, and then I take you up on JFK out of Baltimore the other half.
Beautiful. Thank you, Ron. How are you going to be destroying your cordless or portable phone today?
Well, I'm going to toss it out the window doing about 50 miles an hour and let it bounce off the highway.
Not the brightest, but okay.
All right, are there any cars in back of you?
No, I'm on a deserted road.
Very good.
On a deserted road, okay. Ron, let us know when you're going to toss the phone out your moving vehicle.
Okay, you ready?
Hey, when you do that, just kind of say, Geronimo, and so we can hear your voice trail off.
There you go. You ready?
Yes, sir.
You know, you could almost hear a cartwheel, couldn't you?
We still haven't gotten that winner yet, though.
No, we haven't.
I'll know it when I hear it. But it hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, here's Robert. Certainly not that guy with his kiss.
I sure did like those youngsters, though.
No, you didn't. Hello, is this Robert?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Robert. Where are you calling from?
Ooh, I'm calling from Baltimore.
Thank you for listening on WJFK 1300. Robert, how are you planning on destroying your phone?
I'm going to cut it up with a chainsaw.
Oh, the chainsaw.
This is the first one that has some real potential.
Chainsaw right? Massacre, boys.
Beautiful.
Very good.
Love to hear that. Hello?
Hello? Robert?
Oh,
dear. What a shame. What would Buzz say about this? Robert is gone.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew?
Who knew, Buzz?
Who knew, really? Robert? Who knew Robert was going to do that, Buzz?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Mike.
Yes, Radio Gods.
Mike, where are you calling from?
Well, I've traveled a little bit. I'm on 301 at the Virginia-Maryland border. I'm getting ready to go over the bridge. And
another WJFK listener.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
I'm actually from Virginia Beach. I miss you guys down there.
Mike, how are you planning on destroying your... Is it your portable car phone you're going to destroy?
Well, it's a brand new Sony digital phone with a leather case that my wife gave me. I'm going to...
Obviously, there's a lot of sentimental value.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I'm going to do is drive over the bridge, dangle it from the power cord, and then if it hasn't fallen off, then I'm going to let it bounce on the street a little bit and then hurl it off the bridge.
There's another guy just going to throw the phone out of his car.
Well, he had that already.
Well, I don't know how I can top it. I thought throwing it off the bridge might add a little bit of...
You know how you could top it? You could go to a department store, buy a Fry Baby, and put it in there.
Yeah, you know, we still haven't gotten that winning call. All right, this got to disqualify you, but thank you, Mike.
All right, guys.
All right, now hold on. Is this the guy that's going to shoot his phone?
Or chainsaw his phone?
No, this is another guy. It says going to shoot phone.
Oh, wow.
Hello, Ron?
Yeah.
Ron, are you going to shoot your phone?
I'm going to do it right now.
Well, hold on, Ron. Where are you?
I'm in Vienna.
You're not in the Beltway or anything, aren't you?
I'm on my way there.
No, really, Ron, where are you?
I'm in Vienna.
I just worry about a guy with a gun, or like in your backyard or something?
In the basement.
In the basement.
You're in the basement?
Yeah.
What kind of gun are you going to use?
A 25 caliber pistol.
Well, I mean, are you worried about like ricochets or something like that?
No, I got headgear on.
What kind of headgear do you have on?
A motorcycle helmet.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, right, Buzz. All right, so here, how old are you, Ron?
22.
All right, here's young Ron wearing a motorcycle helmet who's going to take out a
25 caliber pistol and shoot his phone in the basement.
Caliber pistol. Good luck.
Have you ever shot your gun in your basement before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, sure, all the time.
Mike. Good, no problem.
All the time.
That's good. Hey,
you ready?
He's wearing a motorcycle helmet.
Hey, listen. All right, maybe he'll, like, kill himself, but it'd be worth it for the karaoke machine.
Yeah, at least his relatives would get the karaoke machine.
All right, Ron, we're ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Is that enough?
Sounds like you missed.
Are you on another phone?
Hey, this battery's dying out on this phone.
Sound like you missed.
No, I didn't miss.
Did you hit it?
I hit it.
Didn't sound like it.
I hit it.
We didn't hear any squeaks or crackles or anything.
Shoot it again.
Were you talking to us on that phone before you...
I can't. I'm out.
Were you talking to us on that phone before you shot it?
I'm talking on a different one.
What?
I'm talking on a different one.
Well, was the phone ever active that you shot? You see, that's the whole idea of it. You know,
Ron?
Yeah.
The phone that you shot at, was that a phone that was operating?
Yeah, they're all. I got a bunch that are operating.
All right, well then, why don't you get another one and shoot at that one?
Hang on a second, I got to get more. Hang on. This
more
phone.
Ammo?
Hang on a second. Yeah, hang on a second.
You're listening.
Battery's dying out, though. I got to call you back on another phone.
All right, call us back, Ron. Thanks,
all right.
Ron. All right, bye-bye.
Listen, we're going to do a break.
You're listening to the Ron Challenge.
We're going to do a break and reset these phones and see if we get anybody that comes close to destroying their phone in the proper manner.
There are some marvelous contestants.
All right, now let me just check ahead as to what's coming up. Here's Bill calling us from South Carolina. Bill, how do you plan on destroying your phone for us today?
We're going to take the phone and put it on a movie platter where we're showing something about Mary, and we're going to swing it off the platter onto the wall.
You work at a movie theater?
Yes, sir.
So it'll be on the spindle that the movie's running on, and it'll throw it against the wall?
Yes, sir, on the platter that is where we're going to move Mary to do this, but we'll move her over.
All right.
Very, very interesting.
Doesn't sound too lame. Hello, is this Dave?
Yes.
Dave, how do you plan on destroying your telephone for us?
I'm going to flush it down the toilet.
Ah, all that's right. A good. That's another classic, Don.
Hold on. Hello, Don. My show's is Bob.
Yeah.
Bobby, how do you plan on destroying your phone?
I'm going to gobble it up on my shoe repair machine.
Gobble it up on a shoe repair machine.
All right, hold on there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, what are you planning on doing?
Well, I was going to either put it in a frying pan with some bacon or in a pot of boiling water.
Love the frying pan.
Yes, bacon, kind of a slow death. That's what we go for.
Love the frying pan.
Yes.
Get it ready.
All right.
All right, hold on. That gets me excited.
I notice.
Hello, Bob.
You.
Mike, two fry babies in a row.
Oh, fantastic. Two fryers?
Bob, are you planning on deep frying your phone?
I'm going to deep fry it.
Oh, hold on. Deep frying.
All right, hold on.
We've never heard a frying pan, but we've heard a deep fryer before.
We will get a big wiener when we come right back. We're going to wind it up right here. We're going to find a winner right now.
Good.
For phone destruction. Let's start with this guy, Bill from South Carolina, listening on WPEK-FM. Hello, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Bill, how are you going to destroy your phone?
Well, we can do two things. We can take it into the projection booth and sling it off the platter while we're running the movie Something About Mary. It'll be during the previews of Rush Hour.
Yeah.
Or we've got the popcorn popper going right now. We're trying to get it warm. We were going to pop it.
Up to you, sir.
Well, it's going to take longer for the popcorn popper, so I guess we need to do the Rush Hour.
Very good. Do the Rush Hour previews.
Okay. Chris and I are going to go do it right now.
Very good.
I'm going to get the other phone and put you down
right,
here.
Hold on. I'll come back. This sounds pretty lame anyway. All right. Let's try this guy, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob, hi, my friend.
Hey, I'm in the mood for destruction, guys.
How are you going to destroy your phone, sir?
I'm going to gobble it up with my shoe repair machine here.
Oh, this is the guy with the shoe repair machine. Okay, Bob.
All right. Yeah.
Go ahead and gobble it up with your shoe repair. Yeah, we're ready,
okay,
Bob.
Okay, here you go.
Okay. Not bad. Not bad at all. I'm still holding out hope, though, for the guy that's going to fry his phone.
Oh, yeah. Frying pan or deep fryer, Don?
I kind of like the frying bacon myself.
Yeah, I do too. Way to go, Bob, though. Good
Bob?
With a shoe repair machine. Pretty good.
All right, Bob.
Nice job.
Don and Mike Show. Hello, who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, how are you going to destroy your phone?
I'm the guy with the frying bacon.
Frying bacon.
This is what we wanted to hear.
I got it Elvis style, nice and crispy.
Very good.
Beautiful. Elvis liked his bacon almost burned.
All right, and is the bacon in there already?
Yeah, you might be able to hear it.
All right,
then let it go there.
All right, here we go.
Ha, 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 ha. this I like.
This is good.
This I like.
He's frying his phone.
In a frying pan with bacon.
This is good. You can hear him with a spatula, like, knocking it around. Too.
Fantastic. Make a little BLT. Destroying his phone.
Oh, good job, Mike.
You gotta love the action with the spatula.
Oh, absolutely. He's like stirring it around with the bacon.
Bacon's about done.
It's about done.
You're listening to a phone in a frying pan. Yeah, now the heat's taking its toll.
Wow. Excellent. Just excellent.
He's still slapping it around in there.
You know, there's just one last call that I want to take after this. Right now, this guy's the winner.
That's right.
But there's a guy with a potato gun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love it.
Hello? Hello? Excellent. If the guy with the potato gun is no good, you're the winner. Hold on, please.
Way all to right. go, Mike.
Hold on a second, Mike. And here's our final contestant. This is Richard. Hi, Richard.
How you doing?
Richard, thanks for listening to the show. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Crownsville, Maryland.
On WJFK out of Baltimore. Beautiful. Richard?
Yes.
You the man with the potato gun?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how are you going to destroy the phone?
I'm going to shoot out of the potato gun.
You're going to shoot the phone out of the potato gun against what? What will the phone be shot against?
It'll just be shot up in the air into the road. It'll,
up in the air. What was that, Richard?
You'll hear it hit the road.
Richard, don't hide your feelings, Richard.
Yes.
All right, Richard, we're ready.
Okay, hold on. Let me put the hairspray in.
He's putting the hairspray in. Are you familiar with the workings of a potato gun?
Absolutely not. I thought this was a Mr. Potato Head.
Hey, you want me to tell you why I'm doing it?
What is a potato gun? What does it do, Richard?
It's a PVC pipe, and it involves hairspray and a flint striker. And
what does it sound like, a homemade bomb? Hey, who's this, Ted Kaczynski calling?
Jesus. Well, good luck, Richard.
Okay, you guys ready?
Yep.
Richard.
Great.
Richard. All right, Richard.
Ready?
Richard with his homemade gum. Gun.
Okay, on three. Hold on, I gotta hold it.
Gun.
All right.
You gonna count to three?
Three.
Richard?
Richard.
It's looking very good for Mike in his frying pan.
Yeah, I think that guy's gonna be the winner.
Richard?
Hope he's wearing a motorcycle helmet, Mike.
He's not in his basement.
Hello?
Yeah, Richard, what are you doing?
Richard, what the hell is going on there?
Okay. All right.
Well, thank goodness you're okay, but what are you doing, Richard?
I'm trying to ignite it.
Trying to ignite it?
Yeah.
All right. How dangerous is this? Should you be igniting a can of hairspray?
It's not a full can. Hold on.
Isn't that, like, highly flammable?
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
Okay, hold on.
Think it's worth burning yourself beyond recognition for a karaoke machine?
Hold on a second. I have to apply a little bit more hairspray.
Hey, Richard?
Yes?
What the heck are you doing?
I have to apply more hairspray. It's not enough. It's an old potato. I'm putting a potato in first, and then I'm putting the phone in.
All right, how long is this going to take, Richard?
It'll take about 10 seconds.
All right, hurry, please. 9, 8.
Hurry, please.
Okay, I'm
7,
putting the top on right now.
6.
We're waiting for Richard in this potato.
Top is on. Ready?
Yes.
4, putting the phone in.
All right, here we go.
2.
Richard?
1.
He's watching TV. I hear the laugh track.
He's in his basement, though. Huh.
I thought he said he was outside.
So did I.
Didn't he say he was outside, Rob?
Yeah.
I hear a TV.
Richard.
Too.
Richard, I thought you said you were outside. We hear the TV.
I have the phone off the hook in the inside.
Well, you have the phone off the hook on the inside.
How long is this going to take, Richard?
It's
not working?
The flint striker is old.
All right. Goodbye, Richard. Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye. Bury all that stuff, Richard.
Well, let's say hello to our winner.
Way to go, Mike.
His name is Mike.
Bravo.
And he deep fried his phone using a frying pan in which he was cooking bacon.
You're the greatest, Mike.
I don't know what to do with all this extra bacon now.
Mike, where are you calling from, sir?
Rockville, Maryland.
Beautiful on WJFK. AFM Mike?
Yes, sir.
For frying your phone with bacon, you've won today's karaoke machine. That's right. 10 consecutive days we're giving away 10 consecutive karaoke machines.
And they're great.
Courtesy of karaoke.com. Your one-stop shop for karaoke equipment. Check them out on the web at www.karaoke.com.
Thank you very much. I think I'm going to rent my house out now to some Japanese tourists.
Excellent idea. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Donna, Mike.
And for everybody else, well, T.S.
Yeah, I would say that Mike is a man who gets the joke.
Right.
Now, what is this guy still doing on the phone?
Is this the guy with the little kids?
Is this Greg and Sterling?
Either he hung up or his...
Where's Bob with the deep fryer? No, that's greedy. I shouldn't be doing that.
I don't know. I think we lost that guy. Hello?
Yeah, I was just calling for the phone destruction. Next time you guys do it, I'd like to put my phone into some acid.
Oh. Yeah. Well,
these guys always call. This is like playing the name game when someone calls after the name game.
No, man, dude. Look, I've been trying for a long time to get through. So next time I'll just start a little earlier and maybe I'll be able to drop it into a vat of acid for you. I think.
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Joker.
Wear your helmet.
New and improved Joker products.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I jump ship in Hong Kong and I make my way over to Tibet. And I get on as a looper at a course over there in Himalayas.
A looper?
A looper. You know, a caddy, a looper. Jack. So I tell them I'm a pro Jack. And who do you think they give me? The Dalai Lama himself. The 12th son of the Lama. The flowing robes, the grace, bald. Striking. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter, the Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga. So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, this is Homer Simpson saying howdy to all the girls out there in Radio Land.
General managers of the Dummy Depot, Don and Mike.
I hope the radio is on at home right now. I know that my wife's out in the car doing a bunch of errands and carpool and stuff. But sometimes she leaves the radio on to keep the dogs company. And I hope the dogs are listening to me right now. Bad dogs!
Oh.
Bad dogs!
Oh, that'll scare them.
Bad clink! Bad clink!
They'll respond to that.
Bad! Very bad! Boo!
Boo.
Bad Max!
You're booing your dogs on the radio.
Bad Brandy!
What'd they do?
Because they got the sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
They know when my wife is gone. Last night, Frida was nice enough to go up to Ocean City to pick up my car where I had to get the tires. Remember with the whole Julie Roberts thing?
That's right.
Okay. So she went up there last night to the auto place to get my car, spent the night last night, had dinner with her mom and dad, brought my car back this morning.
Right.
She's great. I thank her for doing that. It's like the dogs know when Frida's out of town.
Maybe they're mad. Maybe they're upset when she leaves town. Maybe they're trying to punish you because I already think I know what they did.
I got up this morning, good dad, right? I get up, 6 o'clock, take the dogs outside, get the newspaper, start some coffee going, go up, wake my kid up, make him breakfast, feed the dogs, take them outside again before I go to drive carpool.
So they've gotten every opportunity.
And I watched them, all three of them went number two this morning. I get in the car, drive the carpool, no traffic, no hassles, no problem. Get back home. I go, this is my good doggies, my good doggies. Again, I open the sliding glass door, I let them out. I'm sitting there reading the newspaper, and suddenly I get a wafting odor. And I walk out into the foyer, you know, the part by the front door.
Yeah, at least it's not carpeted.
And there is the worst mess of dog diarrhea in...
It can't just be like a coil.
...in my life, no. And...
Has once it been stepped in?
It looked to me like if there's a possibility sitting in it because there was...
Smear factor?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There was a big smear factor.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's not funny. It's not funny because, you know, I have a serious gag reflex.
I don't blame you for that.
And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at this mess, and I'm saying, now, I'll be honest, the first thought I had was, what time is Frida coming home?
Right.
That perhaps I could leave,
fake it, pretend you were out of the house,
come home and go, oh,
What is this mess? Unfortunately, this was at 8:15 this morning. I call her up. First thing I do, I call her up. Hi, honey, I'm back from carpool. She hasn't even left yet.
Right.
She's not even going to be home like till 12:30 or 1 o'clock. So I'm weighing in my mind. Do I choke back the gag reflex?
And just take care of business.
And go clean it up?
Right.
Or do I leave it? Because I think if I leave it, if it hardens,
yeah,
she's going to know that it wasn't immediately deposited by the dogs.
She'd probably know, you know, even if she didn't know, she'd see it and she'd blame you.
It's gross. I'm choking thinking about it now. So,
what was the square footage area? Was it confined to a smaller, or was it all over the forest?
I swear to Jesus Christ, this is not like when I exaggerated about the fox. As big as this console area here. I mean, Mike, from all the way at the end of your corner cabinet there to over by where your phone bank is. It's spread all over the place.
Oh, and that had to stink.
What's the first thing I do? What's the best way to clean up any mess? Paper towels.
Oh, I thought you were going
to
bring the whisk broom out
again. I go and I get the roll of paper towels. And as soon as I get down by it...
Do you go right to it or do you treat it with anything? Do you spray anything on it?
No. What are you going to... I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Huge piles of poopies. Big piles. I got a trash bag. And I go out there, I'm putting my one hand over my mouth. I'm like, just I'm going to hold a big breath of air.
Were you able to in any way identify the culprit, or did you?
I'm sure it's Colonel Clink.
Really, Colonel Clink?
And listen, there's no way. First off, Max, right, the little dog that was taken care of on this show,
couldn't produce that.
The poops are bigger than his whole insides.
Right.
And Brandy, I'm pretty sure that Brandy's just out of it. That I don't think Brandy even goes number two that much anymore. So I'm positive this all came from the German Shepherd from Colonel Clink.
The only thing I would think, and I mean, this isn't a trial, but I would tell you that Brandy, and when I observed Brandy at that poker party you had at your house, it would be my estimation that perhaps, you know, she doesn't go very often, but she also maybe not all that aware of when she is going to go.
She's very good.
She is?
That she, of the three of them,
right,
she's the one that can really hold it. And she waits until someone gets home, and then she's got that... You know when dogs look at you and you know that they have to go to the bathroom?
Absolutely.
She's very good like that. I'm out. I got a big, hefty bag, right? And I go out, and I'm just starting to... This is the grossest part. If anybody's eating, you might want to just put your sandwich down for a minute.
Oh, God.
Because what I do is I took the paper towels, and I wrapped them around my hand... like about 8 times, right? To
good.
Keep all the poopy germs away from my hand.
Double wrapped.
And what I'm doing is I got a piece of cardboard and I'm scooping the poop from the floor under the cardboard and I'm just going to deposit it into the trash bag.
Boy.
I'm doing this and thinking what a great guy I am.
Right.
Because I'm holding my breath and I go, oh, this is so gross. Suddenly... feel a little moisture on my hand.
Oh, no. Oh, no, you didn't wrap properly.
I wrapped 8 times.
But your finger was exposed or something?
No. It like soaked through.
Oh, God, it soaked through the hand.
Soaked through the paper towels.
Oh,
and then at that
man.
Point, when I feel it, I go, ah! And I dropped it, and I made a bigger mess because when it splotched on the floor,
God.
It was like,
did you think you could do, like, the 8-time wrap and accomplish the whole job with just
No. I was going to do the 8-time wrap, get the major part of it on the piece of cardboard, and then come out with the, you know, the mop and the...
Moisture on the hand. Did you boot right there?
I had the dry heaves. I swear to God, I had the dry heaves.
There's nothing worse. I agree with you. There is nothing worse than dog poop, and if it's in that form,
and I'm looking at
it's worse than that.
And I'm thinking, this is impossible.
Right.
I can't leave it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to clean it up.
Ugh.
There's no one else I can turn to clean this up.
Right.
So I go in the other room. I drink a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
Come back. I finally get the job done. Now, everything's clean.
Yep.
I've mopped the floor. I used Pine Sol.
There you go.
Crap.
Good. All right, good. You've sanitized the floor.
So all the poopy germs are gone.
That's right.
I am left with a hefty bag full of dog leavings. My first thought was, I'll just go put them in the dumpster.
Right.
But then I'm thinking, trash guy doesn't come to pick up the dumpster until Tuesday. I know it's not summertime, but it's still like 75 degrees here today.
Yeah, but so you're not, I mean, what are you going to do with it?
I drove out to the middle of nowhere and just chucked it out the window. I did.
Rob applauding. Rob applauding. That Rob so applauded like a man who's done the same thing.
I have. I drove out to where there are no houses visible.
Right.
Like, you know, I live out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And just a big area of nothing.
Just put it on the side of the road.
No, I walked and I got it all out of my system because I got out of the car and I had the bag. I swung it over my head a couple times. Whoosh! And I let it go, and as it was going, bag opens up.
No one was sure where the dog poop came from. It was traced to a man in gray over there who took his dog poop into the middle of the woods.
And I figured, you know, I'm fertilizing the land.
Right.
So I felt no guilt.
So you emptied out the trash bag, or did you just leave the trash bag?
No. Oh, no. What I did was I went like this over my
Lariat
head.
Style.
Yeah, and just tossed the bag, and as the bag was going, because I didn't put one of those tie things on the end of it,
it all just
the poop was like falling out.
It's going to go to the four corners of the earth.
And because there was a lot of poop in there, it was like a shot put thing. It had a lot of leverage, so that thing was really, really motoring.
No splashback though.
Oh no, because it went 100 yards away from me, and there was enough poop left in the bag that the trash bag itself came to the ground, and I waited to see if it would blow away, and it did. It was in the middle of, like a big field.
I think of the, you know...
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob.
I think of someone out there just taking a nice country walk someday, but nobody will ever find that.
Well, I hope not. Well, what was I supposed to do? I mean, I was sitting there thinking...
You'll be on Unsolved Mysteries, I'm sure. You know, they'll be there. Robert Stack will be showing
up. Do I put it down the toilet?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't put it down the toilet. I can't leave it in the dumpster. I can't leave it out on the curb.
When the fingerprints were taken off the bag, they discovered that it was Don Geronimo's dog.
So, anyway, if my dogs are listening at home, bad dogs. Let me say specifically, Colonel Clink, bad dog.
Right.
I let you out this morning to do your business. I let you out before I drove carpool.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you thank me.
Boy, now, does Clink, you know, I have heard that when a dog does that, especially a young dog, a dog that's in control of its bowels and all that, they're angry. They don't like to feel like, perhaps, does Clink have an attachment to your wife?
He's more my dog than her dog. I mean,
doesn't make sense. Maybe
the little dog is definitely attached to Frida. I mean, I love Max, and my son loves Max.
Right.
No doubt that the little dog, Max, that's Frida's dog. Mm-hmm. When she calls him, he comes.
Man, that's awful.
But Clink, when I come home at night, man,
goes nuts.
That's why dogs are so great. Because, you know, very often my family is indifferent when it comes through the door. It's like I go, hey,
right,
Daddy's home. I've been slaying the dragons. And they're like, hey, your dinner's on the table. Meanwhile, you know, Colonel Clink is practically orgasmic when I come home. I mean, he's out of his mind. Oh, you're here. Oh, I can't believe it. It's been like 5 hours since. Oh, you're here. I mean, he's my dog. I'm so pissed at him.
And he has that moment.
Oh.
That moment of weakness.
Damn, that was awful, man. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Well, no, I might wish that on my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish that on one of my
tertiary
enemies.
That could be hell. That could be hell like yesterday, you know?
Yeah, oh, very close to.
You're walking on a tile floor that's covered with that, and it's endless, and you can't get away from it, and there are no paper towels.
Very close to. And then when my fingers got wet.
Oh, God.
It was the worst.
Duh.
It was the worst.
Clink.
Hello, Don and Mike. Someone wants to defend my dog?
Absolutely.
That's impossible to defend my dog.
Absolutely. If the dog really wanted to nail you, he would have done the carpet. The man, Colonel Clink was making for the door.
Well, you know, I'll give you that he could have gone on the carpet, but...
It's always better when it's, you know, of course, on the linoleum or on the tile.
But still, no, I'm very mad at him. Bad dog, Clink.
You got to give him some credit. I mean, if a dog wants to nail you, they know these things. I mean, he's going to do it on the carpet. He's going to find, you know, like a special place. He was making for the door.
He found a special place, all right.
But that's not the door where you let him out, right?
He does go out that door sometimes, out the front door.
Maybe this guy's got a point.
He goes out every door, but it wasn't right next to the door. You know how when you walk into my house...
At least at the beginning, it wasn't right next to the door. After they played Play-Doh with it.
And it's my guesstimate that Brandy was probably the one who rolled around in it a little bit. The feeble dog.
Well, look at this. Well, old Clink, looks like you left a present for old Brandy to play with. I don't play as much as I used to. I'm very.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up?
I love when you talk like Major Bill being my dog.
Oh, boy. Boy, is Don going to be bad when he gets home? Blake left a big pile of diarrhea right there on the floor. Oh, you hope he doesn't blame me.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing great.
I'll tell you right now, I can't leave those kind of messes anymore, but Clink sure can. And,
Your Royal Majesty.
Your Royal Majesty says Clink left this pile. I think old Brandy, you know the old Brandy. I think I'm going to go over and paw at it a little bit. That's great. And there's the old terrier, the young dog invaded by space. I think I'll smear it a little bit more. Then he'll be mad at Clink, but not old Brandy.
Playing me. Keep killing me. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Okay, I was the assistant manager of a pet store.
Yeah.
And it seems one of the little darlings came down with a case of the runs. Well, if one of them's got it, the rest of them have it. Can you imagine 20 puppies with a case of the runs?
Well, that's probably what it looked like today in my front.
Because, listen, Colonel Clink, my German Shepherd, is a big dog, man. Huge dog. Very athletic dog. Big dog. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, I got to ask. I mean, your dog definitely had the runs. I mean, what were you feeding it? Were you giving it some nasty treats there, or was it...
No, the same stuff he always eats. The, what's that food? IAMS?
Pate.
IAMS. That's the name of the dog food. Get him.
Oh, is that the prescription?
I thought you said you feed your dogs grapes and chili.
Only when companies over, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike. And, of course, cheese, because dogs love cheese.
Now, if you do have a problem with that, cheese is the best thing that you can feed a dog because cheese will bind the dog up.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, I got a good dog poop story.
What?
Okay, my girlfriend and I, it's our first date. This is 3 years ago. And the date's going great, and she asked me upstairs. And this, I swear to God, this happened. She asked me upstairs, so I said, okay, sure. And we get up there, the dog had crapped on her bed.
That's a dog that's mad. That's a dog that's angry.
Yes, he was. Needless to say, there were no first date festivities after that.
No omen of things to come, I hope.
Well, that's pretty good that you didn't have a second date, and I'll tell you why, because it wasn't the dog.
Hello? Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Honey?
Hello?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I just want to like to say that thank you guys for making my life coming to America a wonderful one. I've been listening to you guys for almost 8 years, and I just want to say thank you. And I'm asking permission if I could say, bueno, arbusto, my language.
What is your language? Where are you from?
I'm from Ethiopia.
Ethiopia, like Nana.
Hey, here's a question. I got a question for you.
Sure.
Ethiopia, that's where, like, everybody's starving, where you see their ribs poking through their stomachs and stuff. How come you see so many Ethiopian restaurants, then?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
That's a good question. That's a wonderful... Could you answer that question?
How come there are so many starving people in Ethiopia, yet everywhere I go in Washington, D.C., someone's opening up another Ethiopian restaurant?
I'm asking that question all the time, too. And I don't know, people are not helping back home, I guess.
All right.
Good answer.
How do you say bueno arbusto in Ethiopian?
We call it turu chigar.
Say it again, please.
Turu chigar.
All right. Thank you, sir. And what is your name for future reference?
Sam.
Sam.
It's Sam from Ethiopia.
Sam, one of those. Sam has a club over there.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Just the concept of the Ethiopian Sam's Club.
They could use a Sam's Club in Ethiopia with all the free food samples they give away.
Absolutely. Just go up to those old ladies, when it's lunchtime.
You get one of those toothpick things with cracker and cheese. That's like a two-course meal in Ethiopia.
Sometimes they even make little barbecue sandwiches in there.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddies.
Hi.
Part of my job, which I get to do almost every week, is pull dead animals out of places. Whether it's rats, possums are the best. You get under a mobile home and have to cut it out of the subflooring.
Lucky man.
That, hope it doesn't fall on your head with the maggots and that ooze. It's not even blood anymore. It just turns to pus.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And, I know you thought like he was some kind of exterminator, but he actually worked for some major fast food outlet.
Hello, John and Mike Show. I bet McDonald's. Hello.
Part of my job.
Dynamite.
It's pulling dead animals.
Yes, I'd like the McMaggot, please. excuse me, there's blood on my McMaggot.
Oh, all right, we'll give you a second order of fries.
Hello.
Yeah, I read in Better Homes and Gardens that if you're going to clean
dog feces off a hardwood floor, you should use Pledge, because then you get polished poopies.
Polished poopies.
Oh, God.
And why do guys like that call and then hang up the phone like they're all proud of themselves?
Well, just think. That's the same guy that reads Better Homes and Gardens.
Better Homes and Gardens.
I believe that was just his setup, Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't think he can read.
Wow, that clever repartee.
Hello, last call. Donna Mike. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
I got a good dog poop story.
No, listen. I had enough. I had a great one already today.
Oh,
it's like when a guy rattles off, you know, a really good joke and somebody wants to come in with a lame joke. It's no fun.
Right.
It's not a joke. It's a story.
Yeah, we're saving you
from
it.
No. We're the storytellers here. Thank you, though.
You can thank us later.
Okay.
Okay.
God.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
You know, that went well. Normally, those don't end pleasantly.
There are always more Ethiopians would call the show. Old Sam was very well-mannered.
Sam from Ethiopia.
Quick break. Sam I am.
I love old Sam, Don.
We'll be right back, Brandy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Take one.
Quiet, please.
Recording.
Go again. I found a way to cook.
Take two.
I found a way to cook extra great. Come on over and try my crispy. It's entirely different, and yet it's just as tender and tasty. No, and it's just as finger-licking good. You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that real crispy crust that some folks like. And it's just as tender and juicy, and I'll get it now. I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that crispy, real crispy chicken crust. Yet it's entirely different. No.
This will be Wild Lines 30, take one.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Stop again.
He said cut it.
Go ahead.
And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. Yet tender and juicy. Is that it? Yeah.
That's right,
cut
it.
It's better.
Take two.
Colonel, if you read it. Okay, we're recording. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe.
Take three.
It's entirely different. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let me get that scratch off of there and quit looking at it.
Quiet, please.
That real crusty, real what kind of damn crispy crust. It's really different. Now you can have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe and my new extra crisp.
Crispy.
New extra crispy. I thought I said that. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. It's entirely different. It every bit as finger-licking good, you see. You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down to get that real crispy crust some folks like. I better do that again, huh?
Yes.
All right. You don't want me to sing, do you, for Christ's sake?
We're rolling. This is the good one. Take five.
Most folks have heard about it.
All right, that's good. Good, very nice.
That's why folks call it finger licking good. That's why folks call it finger licking good.
Right, I'm not getting anywhere with this damn thing.
Okay, fine.
The Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough. And yet still very self-conscious that I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe. And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So what?
We will never speak of this again. The Don and Mike Show.
About Kathy C. Gifford. You have that tape queued up, Rob? Okay, tape one. The song that we missed a couple of weeks ago that Kathy C. Gifford wrote about herself and all of the, quote, problems she's had in the tabloids.
I am so looking forward to this.
She is such a pompous ass.
I've never heard this.
She had to repeat the song on today's show because when she originally sang it, remember we told you about this?
Yep.
The ABC network cut them off on many stations for a special report about the Clinton hearings.
Yes, and she was furious, and I guess her mommy and daddy didn't get a chance to see it down here in Washington.
So here it is now, and we'll be able to dissect it bit by bit. And please pay special attention to the condescending way in which Regis introduces Kathy Lee singing.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is from today's Regis show.
All right, so we had a little fun with the fact that a news break-in interrupted Kathy Lee, but what an interruption. I swear, it was really something. Just as the woman took a breath, boom, we cut to Washington.
You love this.
We almost died because, but she didn't know it. Nobody knew it. You know, they just take these things away from these syndicated shows. So you may have seen it in some markets, but we wanted to bring her back to sing this song one more time. It's called You Sell. She wrote it with David Friedman. One of the songs she performed at Rainbow and Stars. And now here is the one, the only, the indomitable, the irrepressible Kathy Lee Gifford.
That's us sweetening it.
And you la-la out of tune. It's swell.
It's like a Mark Russell song.
Oh, God. I'm going to vomit. Oh, it's his best. It's worse.
They put you on TV. They sell.
It's swell.
You sell. They put you in commercials. And you promise folks the moon. It's swell. You sell. They put a pink body in a red light. Are people now suspecting that they're being had? No. You sell.
Nice voice.
You sell. They put you on the cover and say you're crying the blues. It sells, it sells. They say you're leaving Regis. That's supposed to be news. It sells, it sells.
Doesn't sound like the crowd is with her.
Oh, my God. I didn't think, reading the lyrics, I said, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. I couldn't think
it's worse hearing her sing it, right?
It's 10 times worse.
And doesn't it ring kind of hollow when a woman who will pose for any magazine cover, be it Red Book, Family Life, People Magazine, for her to bitch about being on the cover of a magazine.
Well, so complete. I mean, her level of self-absorption is so total. I mean, everybody that's in any kind of show business at all has to have an ego. But this is so out of control.
Not you and me, Mike. And have I mentioned an hour into the show?
Yes.
Perfect job again.
Stellar job today, Doc.
Well, they put you on the cover, say your marriage is over. They put you on the cover, say your husband's a roper. They put you on the cover, say your kid is a brat. You once were anorexic, but now you're getting fat. They put you on the cover, say she's crying again. And the source, of course, is always a close personal friend.
Because she's so big. She is such a big star, Kathy Lee, but you're able to laugh at it all. You're just so great.
So together. You're such a woman, Kathy Lee.
Today you're battling with Rosie and pills. The next day you're going broke because of all the bills. But that's because of all the plastic surgery you...
Hey, I never heard she had a problem with pills. Back that up, Rob. Don't you say you're battling with Rosie and pills?
Yeah, I guess so.
Once you're on the cover, say she's crying again. And the source, of course, is always a close personal friend. The next day you're battling with Rosie and pills. The next day you're going broke.
Rosie and pills.
I guess that's a tabloid we missed.
Okay.
Because of all the bills, but that's because of all the plastic surgery you've had. And now you're close to suicide because it turned out bad.
Now, what does that sound, Rob? What is she doing?
Her pulling her face back like bad surgery.
Oh, like bad surgery.
It didn't really change her face.
Oh, really? Okay. Hey, nice little choreography number there.
Gotcha, Kathy C.
How do I keep it living with all those cancer scares? How do I keep on smiling when greeted by those stares?
Cancer scares? Does she have cancer?
I didn't read that in a tabloid either. Well, she's bringing it up, so, you know, it's interesting.
How do I keep my sanity when facing all those lies? How do I manage motherhood and keep those lies? Who cares? Who cares? There must be something missing from somebody's life when they'd rather read about the plight of Frank Gifford's wife. Is this really what's become of what it used to be news? Perhaps the thing they're missing is a carnival cruise!
And her voice also is toast. Do you hear? I mean, she's like, she's squeaking it out.
In the same song that she's bitching about commercials.
Right.
And commercials selling people junk they don't want.
Right.
She still puts in a plug for her own cruise line commercial.
Beyond shameless.
Right? This is beyond hypocritical.
And beyond out of control.
Aw, oh, damn it.
So why is everybody always pinging on me? Please tell.
Because you are such a C.
Please tell. Why am I the butt of all those jokes on TV? It's hell. It's hell. I really don't take it so personally. To them, I'm not a person, but a personality.
Yeah.
You sell.
That.
Well.
Is that the Richard Simmons choir in back of her?
Widow God, please, when will we be rid of Kathy Lee?
I'll have to back it up a little bit there, Rob. Hold on a second. I want to make sure I get every last drop of this. This is, I never believed it could be this bad.
It's so Kathy Lee-y.
You sell.
I'm swell. The critics and the pundits ponder endlessly. Widow God, please, when will we be rid of Kathy Lee?
Amen.
I wish they had the answer if they only had a clue. I would truly die of shock if I got a good review. But that's never going to.
So imagine that she's choreographing. She goes, and then when I sing, I got a good review. Hit me with a kazoo.
Oh, that'll be great. Fantastic. Great job. A tribute to me.
I'm so great.
God.
My future is secure. I'll keep on filling pages that smell faintly of manure.
It smells.
Is that Gelman?
They'll all be filled with drama, pain, and misery, and vice. Because they can deal with any news except the kind that's nice. You know, in all sincerity, I treat it with hilarity. It helps me keep my sanity. Maintain my famous vanity.
I just got to stop this. Can everybody else hearing this and the people watching this today, do you realize what a phony bitch this lady is? Does she really think that she's pulling the wool over everybody's eyes with this poor, poor, pitiful me crap?
She certainly does.
Listen, Kathy C., anytime you want to change lives, let me know. You got it so friggin' bad. God damn.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Makes you want to pull your hair out.
She got everything everybody wants. Just shut up.
And she, you know, and the reviews and the whole way she talks like some kind of Broadway diva, which she could never be because she doesn't have the talent.
God damn it. You got the easiest ride in the world. You go on TV for an hour every day, and when you take out the commercials, you really work for maybe 40 minutes a day. 40 minutes a day, you make like $10 million a year. Everybody kisses your ass. Just shut up! Shut up! You know, that's,
shut up!
The poor, poor, pitiful me stuff is what just drives me over the edge.
Of course.
Right?
She's always been like that. She's always been like that. She has been. She is the Pollyanna of Pollyannas.
If you don't like all the publicity that comes with it, go off TV.
You can hear it. And to me, listening to that audience, you know, they're kind of fence-sitting. You know, it's kind of like, oh, my God.
She's getting the polite, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
She used to a long time ago. She had that audience. She had that blue-haired audience with her. She doesn't have that audience with her anymore.
If she can't get that audience, there's no audience
absolutely.
She can get.
That's
because
right.
Because that's her audience.
Well, you know what? She's played that card too many times. Mm-hmm. Too many times she sits up there with Regis and she'll say some self-righteous statement like, well, that's why we call it America. And now she says that crap, but she waits for the audience.
Yeah, and there's usually nothing now.
To applaud, right. Oh, Kathy C.
Vice. Because they can deal with any news except the kind that's nice.
Oh, sure.
You know, in all sincerity, I treat it with hilarity. It helps me keep my sanity. Maintain my famous vanity.
That's true.
It's the first true
I've
lyric.
I've learned to laugh at critics and to stop at all the jets. Yes, the press is tough. To paparazzi are just pets.
See, here's the other thing. She obviously has not learned to deal with the critics because she has to write a song about them.
Exactly. And she can't laugh at it. She has not learned to laugh at it. This is not learning to laugh at it. Hey, the truest thing in her famous vanity.
Why don't you just be a little more like us, Kathy Lee? We hate being criticized. We just come right out and say it.
That's right.
Don't criticize us. Don't say anything bad about us. Don't write anything bad about us. And if you do, we will be all over you.
That's the honest way of dealing with it.
Right? Nobody likes being criticized.
Nobody does.
But it's fun to criticize you, Kathy C. It
certainly is.
But you people have been great to me.
You people.
You're the reason that I stay.
God. Now, don't leave, Kathy Lee.
Please stay for us, the people.
Yeah, you stay. Thank God you're staying. And you stay for the people. You don't stay for yourself, you bitch. I'm sorry.
And the millions of dollars you make. We, the people.
The people. You people are the reason I stay. Oh, we're so grateful to you, Kathy Lee.
Jesus Christ. Back it up, please, Rob. I missed the lyric there.
Yeah.
Missed the lyric.
This is where she has her naughty booze reference.
Yes, the press is tough. The paparazzi are just past. But you people have been great to me. You're the reason that I stay.
Eat me.
With a lot of help. In your eyes, then right, there she goes again, starting to cry. When in fact you're really laughing because you know it isn't true. They're writing about someone, but that someone isn't you. If I believe that crap I read, how I'm a woman filled with greed, who really is a heartless jerk who loves to put small kids to work.
I believe that.
The yeoman miss, the hilly miss, the foamy witch with foamy. Left her way up to the top, and tossed and tossed and just won't pass. I'd hate me too.
Bravo, Kathy Lee.
God, it was like an anthem. You know, I mean, it's the longest song in the world.
On behalf of all the people.
You people, you are the reason that I stay. Don't leave us, God, don't leave us.
Just say F you, Kathy Lee.
Oh, I'd love to say
On behalf of all the people.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
Man.
Oh, that was worse than reading it in the newspaper, wasn't it? And there were more lyrics there than were printed in the newspaper.
You know, unfortunately, there is someone who is so completely and totally out of control.
My God.
That is no checks and balances. And you know that Michael Gelman, the producer of that show, and Regis...
They're dying during that.
Those eunuchs are sitting over there right now. You know,
after the show, they probably go out, they have a drink. They go, Did you hear that bitch today, Michael? Did you hear her?
You know, I'll give it to Regis. The best part of that whole tape was Regis talking about when she got cut off.
Yeah, he loved it.
And his unabashed joy about that. And I would have loved to see his face. Rob, you watched it, right? What was his? What was the look on his face after that?
It was glee, wasn't it?
Sheer and utter delight, then sort of trepidation afterwards. He brought her out a bouquet like they do, you know.
Oh.
And then, you know, a lot of times they even do like a gradual fade to like a New York skyline.
Yeah.
Hard cut and gone. There was no dialogue after that applause you heard. It was just gone.
Oh, God. Oh,
idiot.
Oh, it was great to analyze. It was great to rip apart.
The paparazzi's tough.
They're just pests.
Oh.
But you people are the reason that I stay. Yes, of course you stay. You're such a martyr. You're such an incredible martyr. You're the one that had your name on the fashions with the kids in the sweatshops.
Anytime you don't like it, quit. Quit. Regis will put his old lady on the show with him.
Because you'll never quit. You're like Nosferatu. You're like a vampire. You are. You're like somebody who gets out of a coffin every day because
you remind me of Jeff Hedges. Ow!
Hey kids, it's Daddy Scatty. On today's show, I'll be joined by Kathy C. Gifford.
She'll be crawling out of her coffin too.
Ow! Daddy Scatty.
Unbelievable.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
How are you, sir?
Hey, I just want to say something. When we were talking about the ratings before, I want to thank all you people. Thank all the people.
You're the reason that we stay.
You're the reason we stay. Not the fact that we make a pretty good living doing this. You're the reason we stay.
That's right.
We're here because the people demand it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, fans.
We love it.
And Chardonnay.
Yick. Hello. You know, reading the lyrics, I had no idea it could be worse. That much worse it was.
Kathy C., keep killing me. Keep killing me!
Her little Broadway tune.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
I just want to let you know, after listening to Kathy Lee crap, I will never need X-Lax again. I'm telling you, that it's coming out of
both ends.
You know, I feel a little of the pain, too. I really do after listening
it's
to that.
It's a good thing today's not the underpants bit day for that bet. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
A little Kathy C. update I haven't heard you talk about. Let's see, the 25th of this month, an interactive episode of The Simpsons. It'll be Kathy C. and Regis interacting with Bart and Lisa.
I think, Buzz, didn't you have that during a news a while ago?
You're really going to do this.
They're really going to do
Buzz,
this.
Buzz, he's just asking you a question. We just want to know if they're going to be on TV. Wow.
Well, Buzz, I'm sorry. I didn't know you already had it. You scooped me.
Yeah, right, Buzz.
Sorry, Buzz.
No, you're the man, Buzz.
What a guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Don't forget the Newsmaker hotline, right, Buzz?
No, nothing to fear.
So I can't apply for the job. It's taken.
No, best news tip of the week gets $1.06.
Right.
From our friend Guy Birdley.
And the little Chardonnay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
It sells.
It sells.
Hello.
Yeah, I'd like to hear your comments on the part where she's talking about her husband having the affair and our marriage is fixing to break up, and I'll just hang up and listen to your response.
I don't know, you know, the whole thing, the whole song is just ridiculous.
And the false modesty, you know, when she makes her, I'm just Frank Gifford's wife. Yeah, yeah.
You BS your Frank Gifford's wife.
You married Frank Gifford because it was the name. You married that name.
Frank Gifford is your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well be... Well, his name would be Kathy Lee Gifford if he was the wife.
His name would be Frank Epstein.
Frank Johnson.
Frank Johnson.
Hello.
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Hey, man.
You guys can not play the tape at a better time, man. I got my lunch break, man. I got all high. I'm listening to that.
Lee has that effect on people.
Hello, Donna Mike.
I told Rob A. if he didn't put me on the air, I was going to start running people over on 270. That was absolutely heinous.
Yeah, it was. That's a great word for it. Heinous was the word.
It sells.
What you would be like as a remorseful drunk?
It sells.
I'd like to, man, I would like to just, you know, I'd like to see her after three bottles of Chardonnay, you know, and get the real Kathy Lee.
Listen,
I think she drinks Mad Dog 2020.
I want to tell you something about your stupid efforts that listen to my show every morning. That show is nothing without me. I hate Regis. I hate Michael Gelman.
I got to go down to another effing Walmart to walk in there and sell my product.
I wouldn't wear that crap if they pay me. I wear Miller. Nicole Miller fashion.
Yeah, my sisters are such a pain in the butt. The only reason I keep them in the act is so they don't call me a B.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to talk about Kathy Lee.
I think Cody's retarded. Hello.
That boy ain't
Hello.
Right.
Hello.
Hello.
The real Kathy C. Gifford.
Sure. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. Turn your radio. Do you have your radio on in the background there?
Yeah.
Yeah, turn it down, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right. Hello.
Hello.
What?
Yeah, I know how she copes with all that now. She's an alcoholic.
All right. Thank you.
Very astute, sir. Very much worth the wait. You're right, Buzz.
Bye, Dumb Buzz. Hello.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
What are you guys doing?
We're doing the show.
Oh. Well, I'm just sitting here listening.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
This is Cody.
Hey, Cody. Hey, dude.
I don't like the way you're talking about my mom, man.
Oh, Cody, you uptight about that?
Yeah, she got me out here working, and I just take a break, and I don't think that's fair, man.
Hey, Cody, you ever see your mom naked?
Yeah, man, her thing goes straight down, man.
Oh, her boobs go straight down?
Yeah, man.
Cody, were you 8 or 9 when you started talking like Joe Walsh?
Nine.
Hey, man.
Nine, man.
This is Cody Gifford, man.
Mom, I don't want to go down to Cody's house.
Hey, dude. This is Cody Gifford, Mom. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Last call. Hello.
How you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
I just wanted to know what Buzz's opinion on Kathy C's song was.
Excellent question. Buzz, what do you think of Kathy C?
Buzz?
Come on, Buzz. Come on.
Hmm.
Well, he's thinking about it.
He's pondering his response, sir.
Question, what was the question again, sir?
What did Buzz feel? How did he feel about Kathy C's song?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about what I figured.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Have a great day, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, bye-bye. Oh, that's scary.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll come right back.
This
is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, be careful with that. That's the most powerful trank gun on the market.
Huh, got her in Mexico.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
They say it can puncture the skin of a rhino from a...
Ow! Yes! That's awesome!
What?
You just took one in the jugular, man!
Whoa!
Yes!
Is this bad?
You should pull that out.
Wait. Pull what out?
The dart, man. Got a dart in your neck.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you. But you're crazy.
This is hard.
The Don and Mike Show.
I think it's this way, Charlie.
No, this way, Joe.
No, this way, Charlie.
No, this way, Joe.
No, this way. No.
Taking you on a journey that you could not take on your own. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yes, now the weekend. Got some stuff to tell you, including the poker game.
Yeah, poker.
I hardly knew her. But first, I have to tell you, I had the greatest moment being a father.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this on the weekend.
On Saturday. When we went to Bart's football game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times his 8th grade team plays in the afternoon. They play like at 2:30 or 3 o'clock on a weekday, so right. I don't get to go. This is the only game of the year that I was going to get to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very uptight with Frida, of course. You know, I was like the doting father on Saturday morning. I got up early and I took Bart to school so he could do all the pregame stuff. I came back home and got my wife. The game started at 10 o'clock.
Right.
So I wanted to leave our house by about 9:20.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's 9:20. She's still up putting her makeup on. It's 9:25. She's still dicking around 10. You know, I'm going upstairs. I go, we got to be there at 10 o'clock. So we left at 9:32, which is a little too late for me because I'm a little hyper about this.
Flying out of the driveway.
So we got there, and as we pulled up to the school, all the kids were running out on the field. So right away, I just shot her a look. I said, see what you made us do?
You wanted to see the run into the stadium.
Right, it was an exciting moment.
It's cool.
So we parked the car, and then it was a long walk from the parking lot to the field, and I was seriously dragging Frida behind me like, come on, we got to get down, we got to be fast. Keep in mind, Bart's the second string fullback. He's not even starting in this game, but I wanted to be there.
Sure.
So they kick off. We missed the first series of downs because we were late.
Oh, God.
We go and we sit down, and the first thing that I want to do is I want to make contact with my kid.
Right.
So I want him to know that I'm there. And he's...
Means a lot to him. I remember that when my dad would come to games. It's a big deal.
Except Bart's to that stage. He's 13 now where he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
So he was standing by the coach waiting to go into the game. And he would turn around every once in a while, and I was doing this, like giving him the salute, or I'd give him the peace sign, or I'd wave at him. And I know every single time he saw me, but there was nothing back.
Well, you know, he knows you're there, and it means a lot to him, but he's not going to let you know that.
I know, but at this point, I'm too irrational to get that information through me. So now I'm doing this. I'm like going...
Oh, just you don't know whether he's even aware you're there. Okay.
Right, because
I understand.
Because we were late getting there, and I thought that maybe before the game he would be looking for
him. He doesn't know it's me.
Right.
He does not get it.
So I'm waving, and I'm waving, and I'm waving, and I'm going like, hey, 37!
Yes.
37!
Let me take you back if I will, okay? What you have to remember at that age, trust me, he's looking up there and looking where the parents are. He's looking there every 5 seconds. He may not acknowledge you, but believe me, he wants you to be there. That's probably the most important thing for him on that.
Finally, he turned around at one point, like the fifth time, and I'm making a big ass out of myself, waving and yelling his number out. He turns around and he gives me one of these.
Hey, slow down.
Keep it down, Big Mel. All right, so now I'm chilled out. He knows that we were there for the start of the game, and he hasn't gotten into the game. And the team is losing. They ended up losing the game 26-0.
Now, what part of the game are we at here?
He gets into the second quarter.
Second quarter, okay.
So, and the kid that's playing in front of him is a goddamn moose.
Mm-hmm.
This kid should be on the offensive line. I don't know what he's doing playing fullback because the kid's like 6'3", 200 pounds.
Wow.
Right? So I can see why my kid's not the starter.
Mm-hmm.
He's much smaller than that. So Bart gets into the game. First play out of an I formation. He knocks this other kid on his ass. I mean, knocks him down.
That's my boy.
And I break every rule that I get mad at other parents for. He does that, and I stand up and go, woo! I'm like all excited, but keep in mind that they lost 2 yards on the play.
Right.
Right? He wasn't the ball carrier. He was just a blocker.
But he made it. You are, now the team does not matter. You are, you know,
I'm just rooting for my kid.
The isolated camera is on your son.
Right.
Right.
So he gets in for a couple more plays, and then he gets taken out because, as it turns out, he's been blocking the wrong guy.
Oh, that'll do it.
All right. So yeah. The coach takes him out, and now I'm really mad. Because now it's the third quarter.
Right.
And, like, since he blocked the wrong guys, the coach hasn't put him back in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm lecturing Frieda at this point.
Right.
I'm just going off on her ear very quietly, but I'm saying, you know, I don't know why the coach doesn't put him in. You know what I mean? He plays hard. He tries hard. Just stand there. Just stand there. Wait. He wants to play in the game. Why won't the coach put him in? And then it's all coming back to me in high school, and I start lecturing Frieda. I say, do you know when I played high school football? Then I went and asked the coach to put me in the game, and the coach said that that's good, that that shows initiative. I'm going to go down there and tell him to ask the coach to put him in. And she's like, no, sit down.
Chill out, Dad.
Don't go down there.
Right.
Don't do anything. He'll be okay. But I was very hyper.
Type A, type A, type A.
So they put him back in the game.
Right.
Right? And they get a nice little drive going. And he catches a swing pass out of the backfield.
Oh, cool.
And he gets about 10 yards, and I just about made a mess of my pants. I mean, I'm beside myself. Though all the other fathers there, they give me like high fives and stuff.
That's
like,
cool. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
So, yeah, that's my man. That's my kid. Same drive. Quarterback goes back. Same play. Swing pass to the fullback.
Right.
Nice little pass. Bart catches it. 15-yard gain.
That's great.
Now, at this point, I'm in ecstasy. It's like the team's losing, but hey.
Hey, he's racking up some yards.
He's done well. So now they're driving. Their time's running out. Less than 2 minutes left in the game. And they're like on the 15-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, run that same play again. Well, they call the same play again.
Right.
This time, the quarterback goes back to pass. The other team, now they've run this play a couple of times. They think it's coming, so they come out, and the kid just grabs Bart's jersey and pulls him down.
Pass interference.
And that's when I really made the horse's ass of myself.
Oh, no.
Because I stood up, and I got a loud voice.
Right.
I screamed, flag! Ref, where's the flag? Flag! And I screamed so loud, all the players turned. The players on the field, they all turned and looked.
Oh, no.
But, you know, at that point, the referee pulled the old flag out.
Threw the flag.
Threw the flag down.
Right. Oh, that's good.
So Mr. High Five again, like, yeah, good call.
So they got the interference call.
Good call. Then time ran out.
Oh, and that was it.
That was the last play of the game. I mean, they had one more play after that. They didn't score the touchdown.
Hey, but he caught a couple of passes. That's cool.
So at that point, I can't contain myself. The game's over. And I said to Frieda, I'm going out on the field. And she said, no parents are going out on the field. Just sit up here. He'll come up here. And I said, no. I mean, I was so excited for him. I go running down on the field, and I'm standing there waiting, and they're shaking hands with the other team. They make two lines, and they shake hands. And then I go over, and I go, hey, how you doing, buddy? And he goes, Dad, what are you doing down here? And I said, great game. And he said, Dad, don't put your arm around me.
Wait outside the team entrance, Dad.
He said, I have to go have my meeting with the team now.
Right.
And we're going to get Pepsis and Cheetos or something. I said, I'll talk to you then. Right? And it's at that point, real defining moment.
Yeah.
Because first off, he said, don't put your arm around me.
Right.
And they kind of shooed me away.
That's normal for that age.
So I'm just standing there like a little puppy in the middle of a football field.
That's oh, man. That's,
I see them going, running away.
You'd be the same way when you were that age.
Absolutely.
You got to understand that. But, man, that is the greatest.
So they go over. They have the team meeting.
Right.
And finally, I'm waiting. Now, at this point, I've learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go running over there.
No.
I'm waiting.
Just going over to the team meeting, like leaning into the huddle. Like leaning in, what was that? And then offering suggestions.
So I'm standing. And I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting. I finally see number 37 come around the corner. I'm taking it cool, right? So I walk up and I make the cardinal mistake again. Put my arm around him. I go, hey, great game. He says, Dad, don't put your arm around me. There's guys here. So I said,
quit loving me so much, Dad.
I said, okay. Well, right. How about this? And I stood in front of him and I went, great game. And I, boom, hit down on his shoulder pads with both my fists. That he liked.
Oh, good.
He said, yeah, that's cool.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Good job.
Yeah, and then it was off the
next
wild world.
Next time you get your own helmet, you give him one of those headbutts, you know?
And then it was off the wild world.
Oh, really?
Because he was kids having a birthday party.
Mm.
And, yes, that was a very, very worrisome time for us.
Yeah, stay out of the wave pool.
Because this park, Wild World.
Right.
They've had all kinds of, like, stabbings and shootings there and everything.
Yeah, it's gotten a little rough out there.
But the parents were going. It was a supervised thing, and they have Halloween stuff out there. So that's why during the poker game on Saturday night, I kept waiting to get the phone call from Bart.
To see if he was cool and everything was fine.
Telling me that he was still alive, that he had made it out of his afternoon at Wild. So by the time I got him on Sunday.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, he went to a dance on Friday night. They had an eighth grade dance. He went to a dance Friday night. He was up late. Then Saturday morning, he was up at 6:30 to get out to the football game. Mm-hmm. Played the football game. Went to Wild World all day. I picked him up on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I said to the mom and dad, whose kid he had spent the night at their house, I said, how late were they up last night? Dad says, well, I don't know, 1 o'clock,
ooh,
2 o'clock. And I look at Bart, and zombie, man. I mean, he's totally zombied out. And here's what his voice sounds like. He goes, hey, Dad. How you doing? Now, it's at this point, you know, my wife has done the smartest thing of all. She's gone to her mother's for the weekend. So what this means is Sunday, excuse me, Sunday, it's got to be my job,
right,
to make sure that he does all the grunge work.
Yeah.
He has to do all of his homework.
Mm-hmm.
He has to take out the garbage.
And he's working on 4 hours of sleep.
He has to play the piano.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that he's not going to be very nice to be around.
So you're not going to get any hugs on that day either.
No. No, absolutely not. So on the way home, we got in the car Sunday morning, and I said, hey, you know, great game yesterday. Here was the response. That's all I got from him. So we got home. I put him to bed yesterday morning. He went to sleep at about 11,
mm-hmm,
and I went up at 4 o'clock to wake him up, right? At about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's 5 hours of sleep.
That's charging your batteries.
I went up to wake him up. He didn't want to wake up.
Right.
He's like super crabby. Like, Dad, I don't want to get up. So, you know, I hate doing this. This is Frieda's job, to be the mean guy. So, you know, I had to say, no, come on. I'm trying to think, what would my wife do?
Right.
You know, time to get up. I'm waving my finger. Time to get up. Do your homework.
Time to make the donuts.
Do your homework. So he gets up and he does his homework, then he wants to go to bed again.
Wow, he is wiped out.
It's like 8 o'clock last night. He says he's tired, he wants to go to bed. Now, I guess what a smart parent would have done was kept him up for a little while more.
Right.
But I didn't. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm so flustered out of having to be a parent all weekend that I said, listen, fine, just go up. Go to bed. Good. I'll see you in the morning.
Thinking he'll go the whole night, right?
Yeah, that went well until midnight.
Oh!
Until midnight when he came in, and he wakes me up and he goes, Dad, I can't sleep.
Yeah, and I'd like a sandwich.
I am wide awake.
And I'd like a full buffet.
So I go, oh, well, what do you want me to do about it? He says, Dad, I've been laying in there for a half hour because I didn't want to wake you up, but I can't sleep. Can I turn the TV on?
Right.
And I said, yeah, sure, what the hell. Turn the TV on.
You're playing it. You're ad-libbing.
Right? So he turns the TV on, and before you know it, you know, I'm wide awake, and we're watching SportsCenter, and it's like 2:30 in the morning.
So he had a good morning this morning, too, going to school, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and then he went to sleep about 2:30, 3 o'clock. So then I wake him up at 6, and when it was time to get up for school, again, I'm waking up Damien. You know, he's like, I don't want to go to school today. And I'm like, listen, you can't do this. If you got to get up and go to school, you got to go to school.
So the move would have been to hold him for 2 more hours.
Like, make him wait until 10 o'clock or 10:30.
Yep.
Then let him sleep all the way through.
Sure.
But no.
Hell, how are you going to know that all the time?
Well, it was basically a lazy move on my part.
Right.
At that point, I'd been dealing with Damien for 4 hours.
Sure.
He got up at 4, and I thought, 8 o'clock? Oh, what the hell, he'll sleep all the way through.
Just, you know, you let him stand for 2.5 hours, hit him on the shoulder pads, and put him back to bed.
Right, so that was the weekend. Meanwhile, the whole time, you know, my wife's calling like every 5 minutes. La, 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 la.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
I'm up here at my mother's house. La, 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 la. And they give me all kinds of orders, you know.
Right.
Don't forget to have Bart take down the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, Bart has all these jobs to do on Sunday night. Well, she didn't know. I put him to bed. I did all the jobs myself.
No, she's she's in a supervisory capacity from a long distance.
I figured it wasn't worth it to go up and wake him up to have him take the trash down to the curb.
Very full weekend.
So I would just do it myself.
It's nice to know the body clock has to be regulated even at when you're 13.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You like good phone there?
Yes, I do. I'm a big fan.
Pop the magic dragon.
thought it wasn't really about a dragon.
Huh?
What do you mean?
You know, the whole drug thing.
No, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
Some people think that to pop the magic dragon means they're really to smoke a marijuana cigarette.
Well, Puff's just the name of the boy's magical dragon.
Right.
Are you a pothead, Falkner?
No. No. What? No, 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 no. Jack, no, I'm not. I pass on grass all the time. I mean, not all the time.
Yes or no, Greg?
No. Yes. No.
The Don and Mike Show.
Drink your mead, but in moderation. No man is called discourteous who goes to bed at an early hour. Just ask Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, Buzz, let's talk about your surgery.
All right. How do you want to do this?
Well, all right. I got so many questions.
Sure. In the beginning.
Listen, let's give Buzz a couple of warm-up questions.
All right. Fair enough.
Then we'll do a stop set, and we'll come back, and we'll get very deep into about everything that happened to Buzz. Now,
great.
Here are my basic questions to outline everything.
Good.
And I can ask you anything now,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Like anything.
All right. First question.
Uh-huh.
Good, right?
Yeah. Now, when you say in a bag, it's because it was a colostomy bag that you had to use temporarily,
yeah,
right?
Because I exploded and they had to reroute the traffic.
To set the table for this, the thing that happened to you was...
That's another good question.
What started the whole thing? What happened to you?
I'm coming home from the grocery store and I get this incredible pain in my gut. And about that same time, I see the flashing blue lights in my rearview mirror. I'm being pulled over for speeding.
Oh, God.
So I'm sitting there cringing while this guy's writing the ticket and I'm thinking... You know, if I tell him what's going on, it's only going to make it longer before I get home.
Right.
So let him just write the damn ticket, and I'll drive home, and, you know, we'll go from there.
And this was way back in June, right?
Yeah, back in the, you know, in the summer.
And back in the day.
Actually, mm-hmm. July, I think it was. Mid-July, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, around July 11th, as a matter of fact. And I got home, and I put down the groceries, and I felt awful. I mean, really severe pain. I laid down on the bed, and I said to Marcia, my wife, I said, I'm dying. I had no idea how right I was.
Yeah, you almost died, right?
Yeah, because when what happened to me happens to somebody, you only have hours to live, and you hope you get a doctor smart enough to figure out what's wrong with you so he can fix it.
So,
yeah.
Your colon exploded.
Yeah, that's what I've always said. It's actually ruptured is the right word.
So it ruptured is what, I mean,
there was a hole, right?
A hole? Something, a bit of food, who knows what caused it. I've always had a good diet.
Crazy sex act.
But something caused a hole to appear and then rip open.
Was it a bowling trophy?
No, it wasn't a bowling trophy. It's a fair question, but it wasn't a bowling trophy.
Answer for the ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
All right.
Have you not said before on the show that you do find the butt to be an erogenous zone?
Yeah, I think I've said something to that effect, yeah. But
I think where you had your problem, though, that would would be a medical miracle if it was as far up as where
I'm just trying to cover all the bases here, Mike.
Yeah. No, there's quite some distance between the bad thing that happened to me and the area of which you speak.
So there was no... No, there was nothing that happened that perhaps...
No, like I said at the time, it's the gut, not the butt. It really was
okay.
The gut.
All right. The gut, not the butt.
Right.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
All right, so nothing funny had happened to give you, whether it was sexual
right.
or otherwise.
Right. No, my diet was good. There was no hanky-panky. It just punched a hole in it. Because... Yeah.
All of a sudden.
And then what happens is, right then, and you need to know this now... Poo was all over my vital internal organs, contaminating them with all its various bacteria.
You know, that is close to what I saw on Trauma Center Life in the ER last night.
A condition called sepsis.
This guy got impaled, and because it went through his intestine, that they were worried about the infection. My God, that can kill you.
So I got lucky. I got a doctor who knew what was going on and cut me open.
It must have smelled awful, right?
Oh, yeah. I've heard from the people who were standing around me when the doctor cut me open. And yeah, it was bad. Ugh. It was very bad.
All right, now, when this happened,
uh-huh.
Did you have any leakage in the car or in the house?
No, the leakage was all inside my body.
It was all internal.
Poo was running over my liver, my kidneys, my bladder.
And isn't that one of the worst things that can happen as far as internally? That's because you could die from infection
because
right away.
Those organs are not used to being exposed to bacteria like that. And this is, of course, as you know, very nasty bacteria. So
now, was it a big hole that was ripped in you or what?
I don't know how large the hole was. I know they removed a section of my colon that was about 7 inches long.
Wow.
A 7-inch section of colon.
Very nice.
Other
now,
people have lost much larger sections.
Do you have that section of colon with you? I know that you have a refrigerator bag.
No, that had to be destroyed.
You didn't take it to the taxidermist like we recommended?
No. I should have had it bronzed, but what was I thinking at the time?
You'd make a nice little belt out of it, I would think.
A couple of nice paperweights, if nothing else, for you and me, Mike.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking of you at the time, and I'm sorry.
Now, this happened because you have what's called diverticulitis, which I had. I have the same thing. You don't have it's not past tense. You have it.
Common condition. Somebody asked me yesterday, I think it was Tim McWilliams, who was scared to death that something like this might happen to him. And I said, you know, usually it's hereditary, but nobody in my family's ever had it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a bad diet could contribute to it, but I have a very good diet, so it's not that. This was just a freak thing that sometimes happens, but the way it happened to me is very rare.
All right, so let's recap before we take a break.
Right. Okay.
There was no funny hijinks involved.
Right.
No, brought
hijinks.
This condition on.
No, I was a good boy.
You're driving down the road on the 11th of July.
Right.
Cop pulls you over for speeding.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, poop all over your insides.
Right.
Your colon has exploded.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the hospital.
Right.
They cut you open.
Uh-huh.
It's an incredible stink hole in there.
Yeah.
Doctor's falling down, passing out from this smell.
Yeah, gagging, sure.
And then they take out 7 inches of your colon.
After they hose off my internal organs with saline, salt water. They had to wash out my insides before they could put it all back together
did
again.
Did they give you any kind of percentages about how, you know, when something like that happens, you know, how many times they... Because I guess if they don't do it thoroughly, any little bit that's left in there could be...
Yeah, they have to be very thorough. But actually, the doctor, the surgeon...
I'd like to have that job. That's an awful job, to be the person has to wash off...
It's the doctor, the main guy.
Who has to wash... What's your job? Well, I wash off the insides of people when their colon explodes and they have poop all over them.
I guess you can't use like one of those garden hose attachments with a real jet, because that might damage something, too.
I don't know what they use exactly, but see, what he normally does when he operates on people is he has them drink stuff that cleans out their intestines first, so when he opens them up, no poo.
Right.
But I was the exception to the rule.
Here's another question.
Lucky boy.
What had you had to eat in the previous 24 hours?
You know, I don't even remember. I was being careful with my diet at the time.
Because you were in a little bit of stomach distress, right?
Yeah, I was having a bad week. I had been taking, I'd had the diverticulitis again.
Had you had any Mexican food by chance?
I don't think so. I don't
Chinese
remember.
Or Japanese?
I don't remember. No, before the first diverticulitis attack, I had the Kung Pao chicken with all the peanuts in it. See? And I don't know, that may have set off the first attack.
Had you had any of your wife's peanut brittle recently?
No peanut brittle was involved in the making of the surgery.
Okay.
Wow, so they cut you open. Right?
Here's another question. Right. Did you get out of the ticket?
No, sort of. The judge looked at, this was a fascinating day in court. The judge looked at, I brought the surgical report with me.
It will fascinate you.
And I highlighted all the parts that said this guy's in really bad shape.
Right.
And she looked it over. And then she looked at my driving record. And
oh, that can't be good.
Then she looked at the surgical report. And then she looked at my driving record. And she said, tell you what, we'll wipe this off your record if you just go to driving school again.
Oh.
So I...
Did you laugh when she said, wipe it off? She was goofing on you in any way?
Again, I was too focused and didn't look at the big picture.
Wipe the slate clean.
All right, well, listen, let's do a break. All right. When we come back, we will find out all of the hideous details about your surgery, about your recovery.
And what happened when I woke up.
And, of course, we want to know about the bag.
The
bag, which, you know, hey, and give us our credit.
Yeah.
3 months.
Right.
We never mentioned it.
God bless you. It was a very difficult time, and I appreciate that immensely.
Never even asked you about it in real life because it oogied me out so much.
I'm sure it did.
I never even asked you, but, you know, when I went to see you in the hospital, you know, that was one of the first questions I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
Because
you should have.
You showed me that you had a tube.
Tubes all over.
Tube going, like, from your stomach area, and I could see that was being deposited in some kind of a...
Plastics is in me.
Oh, Christ.
Those first couple of days after that, you were... I think you had like a nice shade of green. That's
I was
the way you looked.
A little pale, yeah.
What a mess.
Yeah.
Can you poop now?
I can. I am so pleased and proud to say this is a topic I never used to like to talk about before, but let me shout it from the highest mouth again. I'm a real boy.
No more odor than a biscuit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They are gigantic.
Yes.
All right, stand there. We'll get the rest of Buzz's poo story when we come right back. Now, we've just heard Buzz has not said anything about this for the last 3 months. We're just hearing the ordeal that our friend Guy Birdley,
right,
have a good day, went through.
Emergency surgery where they cut you open, remove 7 inches of your colon.
Right.
So, now, you've had the surgery.
Right. And I woke up the next day. I remember being wheeled into the hospital and they put me on the table and there were some tests. And then I don't remember anything after that. Until the next day when I woke up with these 6 tubes in me. I had the needle in the arm, the IV that feeds your bloodstream of water and nutrients. I had a tube that ran into my nose, down my throat, and in my stomach, I guess to drain off stomach acid.
So you're coming to, and you know nothing about what's going on. That must be a pretty freaky...
You look like one of those Borg guys from Star Trek.
You really did. Very much like that. And, you know, you've always seen on television, you've seen people with tubes in their noses and stuff, and I've always thought, geez, I could never do that. Well, the great news is you're unconscious when they put that in, so you don't know. And you wake up, and it's really not bad once it's already in. I'm glad I wasn't awake when they put it in. I had an oxygen...
Now, hold on. Here's a question.
Under my nose, yeah?
When they put the tube in your nose, it goes to your stomach.
Right.
Same mechanism as the guy on Guinness that...
Yeah, exactly.
That put the spaghetti and then breathed it out his nose.
Sure. Same principle. Your sinuses and your throat and everything, they're all connected. And, of course, the throat leads to the stomach. So, yeah, that's exactly how it works. And then I had the oxygen tube under my nose. It was blowing oxygen into my nasal passages. I had some kind of a drain in my side that, you know, your body produces this clear liquid whenever you get this injury to try to wash out the bad stuff. And so I had a tube to drain that off.
You don't mean number three, do you?
No. This would actually be number four, Don. We're all the way up to four now.
Number four.
I mean, you know what number three is.
Yes, I do.
All right, okay.
And gentleman's relish.
Which leads us to the urinary catheter, also known as the Foley.
Oh, my God. You got everything.
And that did my urinary... When that happens, unfortunately, I wasn't. So
let me just say, that's another bad...
You come to after the surgery.
Right.
How long was it before when you awoke? Was there somebody there as soon as you woke up or to tell you exactly what had happened? Or did you have to, like, feel around to know that all this stuff had been, done to your body?
You wake up, and, of course, you're goofy on the painkillers. I woke up feeling pretty good, actually. And
hey.
Then...
I
saw my
There's
wife.
There's a tube in my penis.
Like you said, look at your arms and you begin to see what's connected and you feel your face and you realize, you know, and then you start checking around and you see you're connected to all kinds of things.
Oh,
it will fascinate you.
Including a sixth connection, which was to a little plastic bag.
Oh, it
looked like this.
Oh, he brought a bag.
I brought a couple of samples. You don't want them. Okay.
No,
all right.
Stay there with them.
They have peel and stick adhesive on the back, and you peel that off, and there's actually a hole. There was a hole in the side of my stomach. Actually, the hole is still there. And
the hole that I saw the other day,
was that the one you asked about? You said, is that your navel off to the left there?
And heal up eventually? Is that the way that works?
Yeah, you'll never see that. I mean, it's like it wasn't there. But at the time, that's where, because they had to bypass the red hole in my abdomen
into this plastic bag. Just to be medical about this for a second, they take out 7 inches, and because I have diverticulitis myself, I mean, I'd love to know more about it, you know, but if they take 7 inches out of your colon, and the reason you have to go on the bag is because they can't let anything pass through the system anymore because they'd risk further infection because you've been sewn up down there. So you have to go on this bag for a temporary, like 3 months.
Things have to heal up so that, like you said, the bacteria can't get to the part that's healing.
Do you realize that I think maybe 2 or 3 days before you had this attack, which of course was out of the blue.
Right.
I think we had been kidding on the show.
Sure.
Yeah. About colostomy bags. I mean, I think we had been kidding about.
I think that, that you'd be going into a bag or something like that when we talked about it, and you've lived through it.
I've actually done that, and of course,
and in fairness, really, there are lots of people that deal with this. There are people that deal with this, not just for temporary too, that deal with it, and it's a terrible thing to go through.
I know of a case of a I understand a lovely 21-year-old girl who has this for life.
Yeah.
So that's rough, and millions of people have it. I also heard from one of the nurses who specialize in this. Hey, I don't know if this is true or not, but one of the colostomy nurses.
Hey, nice specialty.
One of the colostomy nurses told me that it was her understanding that Bob Hope has been wearing a colostomy bag for the past 25 years.
I want to tell you.
Really?
Yeah. Dolores, my God.
So I don't know if that's true or not.
Things you hear in the hospital.
But that's a story.
I'd like to change his bag, man.
It circulates.
It's not my bag, baby.
Man, oh, man.
You know what he said about that?
Big Kmart. Yeah. This is big.
That's where he got his bag, at Kmart. That's it. You know, the one thing you said to me when I asked you about it, I think I was saying that, you know, in a bag, having a colostomy bag, that has got to be the toughest thing. He said, well, you said to me, well, the alternative would have really sucked. And the alternative, of course, was you wouldn't be here.
I would have been dead. I could have, if I had to, of course, I could have lived with this for the rest of my life. In fact, I know of a case, a guy's dad got one of these late in life, and he went back to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, you know, you're healed. We can take that off now and put you back to normal. And the guy was old, and he said, eh, I got used to it this way. Just leave it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that is old, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
Wild. That man's name was Bob Hope.
Bob Hope. Hey, yeah, leave it in there. What the hell?
All right, so now you're on the bag.
Yeah, which, of course, has to be maintained, cleaned, emptied, replaced.
All right, here are more questions.
Yeah.
How much did your wife have to get involved in this?
Almost not at all. She was at the ready. She was prepared to at any time, but I had nurses, if you'll recall, visiting me at home. Once I went home, twice a day, nurses would visit and then eventually cut down to one visit a day. And as this progressed, I learned how to care for myself, not only the bag, but dressing the wounds and stuff, which were off to the side.
Do you have to be unbelievably careful because, you know, of what you're...
Close to what was an open wound. So,
So I guess you and I, we won't be doing that shadow boxing anymore.
No, actually, I should be able to do anything in a couple of weeks, I guess, after this wound heals up.
Have you been able...
Yeah.
To enjoy your marital obligations since this happened?
You know, I have to be honest with you. That was something we both missed very severely, especially this last time. So we got together on Friday evening, and actually, stomach muscles are involved, and I hadn't used those for several months, and I actually pulled a muscle or two in the process of trying to fulfill my marital obligation.
So it was the whole time you were dealing with that, you weren't able to...
So over the weekend, I set myself back for having sex.
I'm going to guess now...
Oh, you mean while I had the bag?
No. I'm talking about after the bag.
Afterwards.
After the bag.
Yeah, oh, no, of course you could, because that's south of where all the trouble is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
But it happens.
Yeah,
it
should be pointed out that the people that are in this for life would be able to do that if, you know,
you could
function with it while that was, I mean, if you'd wanted to, because it is, as you said, it is south of where, you know, where all the trouble
is. Right, yeah. You can go on and live a relatively normal life.
You
just go to the bathroom differently.
You said at the beginning that it was really difficult, but it was like anything that, you know, people that have cancer, people that have, you know, these intestinal difficulties, you have to learn to live with it, and people do learn to live with it, and
that's
just the way it is.
No choice at all, and a lot of people do, and they get along just fine, and, you know, God bless them, because I'm glad, I'm so thankful that I don't have this for the rest of my life. I know a lot of people do, but they learn to cope with it, and I could have, too, if I had to.
Here's another question.
All right.
How much, I don't know if shame is the right word, but how much embarrassment did you have about this? Because I know that you were thankful for the fact that we didn't bring this up on the air.
Yeah,
we respect your privacy in that way. But how embarrassed were you, not only on the radio show, but just in real life? I got to think that would be maybe the hardest part.
I'll give you an example. I had a phone repair guy out to my house. Actually, I think he was installing the broadcast line, and I'm standing there in my hospital pants or whatever, and underneath, of course, I'm wearing the bag, and when you have a bag, you have gas just like people who are not wearing a bag, only the gas goes into the bag.
Can you feel it happening when do you have any control over your
no.
See, the you have no control is, over it, right?
You can
me either, Mike.
You can prevent passing gas if you're hooked up normally. But if you have a bag, there's no muscle there to close that off. You have no control. So it can happen at any time.
Right.
So this phone repairman is on his knees, basically. His head is, he doesn't know it because I'm covered with clothing.
Right.
Sneak attack. But his head is at bag level, so he hears me expel gas into the bag. Now, he doesn't know it's into the bag, so he immediately moves away, thinking something may be headed in his direction. It wasn't. It was safely sealed in the bag.
Wow. For goodness sake.
That's tough. That's got to be a tough thing to deal with. That really is, and I'm sure that it's...
And a caller called one day and said something about, you know, his buzz pooping, and at the time, I just didn't want to talk about that, but yes, I was, and like I said, I could have done it the rest of my life if I had to. I'm glad to say that this will heal up. The ugly wounds that you saw the other day, I'm told, will heal to a very faint, a fine line.
Would you ever consider getting a tattoo down there to cover up if there is a scar?
There will be a very, very faint scar. No, I don't think a tattoo will be necessary because I think eventually it'll look pretty darn normal.
All right, now let's fast forward to your most recent surgery. Okay. Now, you've been through all of this.
Right.
Awful crap, no pun intended,
right. No,
with the
true.
Bag and with the painful stuff and,
right.
and having to be at home and broadcast from home and then all those hardships.
Right.
Now you're going back into the hospital.
Right.
And if I remember what you told me, now are they going to put back in part of your colon that they took out, or are they just going to reattach the colon that is still in there?
It's like a garden hose, and you cut a 7-inch segment out of the middle. And then for the time that I wore the bag, the top part of the hose was connected to what was basically a stab wound in my abdomen.
They actually, when they removed the 7-inch section,
right.
At that time, they joined the whole thing together, and they take out the bad part, and they join the intestine back together. So they're basically bypassing your entire intestinal tract, and you're going right out of your stomach.
Well, no. Because the food passes out of your stomach through the small intestine, through most of the large intestine, which...
Hey, Charlie, hold on. Let me interrupt you there, bud. Are you able to keep up your rigorous eating schedule during this, Charlie Broyhill?
Oh, there's no microphone. Charlie, do you use that?
Oh, no.
Forget, we don't have a third microphone.
His smile would say yes.
I was just wondering if Charlie Broyhill could eat through all of this.
I bet he can. He's having pasta today back there.
Ask for the tripe.
So the hose healed enough that they can go back in and disconnect that hose from your abdomen and reconnect it to the rest of the hose, so that you go back to going to the bathroom like most everybody else does.
So they went in, and they reattached your colon.
Right.
Now, that obviously went okay?
It did. And now, I was telling Mike a little earlier, your body kind of has to learn how to do that all over again. Because the lower part of the... I don't know how technical you want to get here.
As technical as you like, Buzz.
The rectum is...
I've been handling this up until this...
Shaped.
So you
got to
work. You got to work out a little bit, huh?
Yeah, and it's all muscles, and muscles control it and make all that work. And so the muscles have been late. Started out rough. I'm pleased to report that as of the last couple of days, I'm in great shape.
I have a question.
So you look.
Really, obviously, you're a looker now. I don't know if you were a looker before.
I had to be because of the problems. Sure.
The question I have is the reason that you go on the bag in the first place is because they fear infection because of everything that's been done down there.
Right.
What's to, when they reattach, there's obviously got to be some healing too, doesn't there? So how come they can take you off the bag and have things functioning normally?
I don't know.
I'm curious
about that. It's a good question for the surgeon. I don't know exactly, but...
ask him next time you talk to
him. Okay,
I'm curious about that.
I have an appointment with him in like another week and a half.
I'm very curious.
So I'll ask him then, but...
Because I'll tell you right now, I think I'm just 1/4 pounder with cheese away from the same thing happening to me, okay?
It is risky, the thing you're asking about. Yeah, it could happen, and that's what makes the second surgery a little more risky, actually, than the first one.
Okay.
And then my final question would be, how great did it feel to have a big juicy after you'd been through all this, the first time you sat on the bowl and you realized
you had a real one,
you have actually eaten something, digested it, how great did that feel?
Well, I think everybody knows what a relief it is, you know, when you have a really good bowel movement. 3 months, super relief.
Really?
You know, I mean,
Was it at all erotic, Buzz? it was that pleasurable, but in a completely different way. Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Just play that before the news. Dan played about half of it, or a little over. He said, you can pick up what's left, you know, play it on your show. That's a story of my life, folks. I always get the leftovers of Ingram. But you got to try working, following him, and try to get some money, some paycheck after he's taken his course. You are still the one at WABC. It's the music of Orleans. It's 6:10 Monday evening, start of a brand new week. Society for the Prevention of a Blue Monday. Weatherman's going to give us a little cooperation. We're going to get some good weather for you tomorrow. Low humidity, lots of sunshine. Do you feel like getting lucky tonight? Are you up for that? Yeah, big smile. I thought so. It's a tough weekend. Well, here we go. Seventh caller, 212-955-9222. You will win a pair of tickets to KISS in concert at Madison Square Garden, July 24th, furnished by Ron Delfner Enterprises. Let's make you a winner tonight. Sister Sledge, we are all family. He came from somewhere in her long ago at WABC, the Doobie Brothers, bringing back some old memories at 8:10, WABC Music Time at 75 degrees. I'm George Michael, and I want to make you a winner. Are you ready? Second caller, 212-955-9222, will win a pair of tickets to the hit Broadway show of Dracula. Dial now. Let's make you a winner as we bring you your great summer of music on WABC with Muse Z. Take it all down to the ground at WABC at 8:18 with George Michael. On Monday evening, I would like to turn back the hands of time. What a good, good record this is. John, Paul, George, and Ringo, and a note of optimism. Beyond the horizon, there is sunshine.
I'm George Michael. Good to have you all with us tonight. Eighth caller at 212-955-9222 will win a 4-LP disco pack, each featuring Gloria Gaynor, furnished by Polydor Records. Dial now. I want to make you a WABC winner. Monday in New York, 81 degrees, hazy skies, still a few scattered showers in the air. I guess that it is every guy's fantasy to be standing at the bar some night and to have the most gorgeous woman in the world walk up to him, look him in the eye, and then whisper in his ear.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the daytime Emmy Award-winning Don and Mike Show.
You know, Larry's got a column today.
Oh, he certainly does.
Zeiger's column at USA Today. I don't know who's worse with the kids. If it's Larry King or Kathy Sue Gifford, but at least Larry King isn't bringing his kid on TV yet. Of course, his kid is only like 5 weeks old.
Right. But Larry is very excited because he's, you know, writing about his son in his column because this son represents the fact that I'm not going to die.
All right. Listen to the headline. The headline is, Baby Love, My Baby Love. There are some things that he has written in this USA Today column that just blow me away.
Absolutely.
Reflections on fatherhood at 65. My boy Chance Armstrong King will be 5 weeks old Tuesday. I cut the cord as Chance and Sean parted ways. I saw his black hair and his pug nose, and within 30 minutes was holding at all 7 pounds, 6 ounces of him.
Because of this baby, I'm going to live forever.
He seems to change every day. A little here, a little there. A new expression here, a new... Hold on. I screwed that up. He seems to change every day. A little line here, a new expression there. Is he following my every word? Is he a genius? I bet I'm against that. Is diaper rash serious? Oh, wait. Hey,
this is funny. This is the good part right here.
To me, he's sort of Moses-like.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Someday, he may grow up and part Lake Tahoe.
Okay. Time out. Just think about that.
Yeah, really, okay.
To me, he's sort of Moses-like.
Let me just explain this to you. I've got such an inflated opinion of myself that I believe that my baby, my son, is some sort of religious figure. That's how inflated my ego is.
Sean's father has had five children and three grandchildren and says there's a certain presence about Chance that separates him from other babies he's seen.
To me, he's sort of Moses-like.
All right, your call is for Moses. Jersey City, New Jersey. You're on the air with Moses King.
I'd like to point out that being Moses-like, the next step up would be, and figure this one out, the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Someday he may grow up and part like Tahoe.
I am so full of myself that I believe my son is Moses.
His mother is madly in love with him. This, by the way, is a direct quote from her. The other night we got away for an hour and headed to the Palm Restaurant in Los Angeles to enjoy dinner with my lifelong friends Sid Young and Asher Dan.
Before dessert came, Sean tugged my elbow and said, "Let's go home. I miss Moses."
He is, much to our surprise, a very sweet baby.
Like what? What were you expecting, Larry?
I was expecting a two-headed monster coming out of Sean's binky.
Chance cries only for food, or if he or if he needs to be changed. Yeah, very unusual.
He does not whimper. He is easily passed from admirer to admirer.
And they're all admirers. He sleeps well. He likes to eat.
At this count, he's 9 pounds, 6 ounces.
They say, and here's the part where Larry clears up.
And this should tell Larry that maybe he's not the father.
They say he's going to be very tall.
Which also is not surprising when one looks at his mom.
I thought I'd attained everything in life I've ever wanted. Grown, successful children, wonderful friendships, career and financial success.
Please.
Recovery from illness into good health.
This is the ego of egos right here. I think it's a tie with Kathy Lee.
Not to take away from any of the other things. There's something about little Chancey that has taken over.
Little Chancey.
Taking a chance on love. We're going to change it. Make it taking our love to chance.
Please.
Yeah.
To me, he's sort of Moses-like.
That's the part in this whole article.
Yeah. Let's review. Remember, he said this baby would meet presidents and kings, that
right.
He's Moses-like, and that he
right.
has a presence.
Now, this is, and I should point out that this is in
his... Is he a genius?
This is in his column. This is in his column. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure, like, with friends, you know, in private moments when you get the real Larry, where it's like,
I really feel he's some sort of religious figure.
He's the son of God.
And I am God.
Little Chancey.
I believe this baby will allow me to fulfill my destiny of living forever.
To me, he's sort of Moses-like.
Guess what? They say he's going to be tall. I'm so thrilled.
With his black hair and pug nose, he's very Moses-like. Someday he may grow up part like Tahoe.
He is, much to our surprise, a very sweet baby, unlike all the babies that aren't sweet. He's a sweetie pie.
We were at the Palm Restaurant. And nice to know, in the middle of this thing about his son,
sure.
He can still get in a plug for the Palm.
Of course.
And also, dinner with lifelong friends, Sid Young and Asher Dan.
You ever get the impression like he calls them up to, Sid Young, it's Larry King. I put you in my column. You're in the 7th paragraph.
And here's the other thing that I really want to run a clock on. We didn't read this paragraph. I have to admit, while all this has happened to me before, it is still so new. I find myself talking to Chance when I'm away from him. I find myself more interested in my health because I want to be around for him. I'm not going to make a habit of writing about him, but I'm caught up at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's run the clock on that.
You know what I
Let's run the clock on that, please.
I just realized a baby changes a home immediately. While he's totally dependent on his mother, his nurse... His surroundings. Somebody's in the Larry King house. Where's his nurse?
Need a nanny.
Where's Nurse Ratchet? Chance needs to be changed.
Baby Moses. Baby Moses is a very sweet baby and only cries for food or needs to be changed.
He's sort of Moses-like. I remember when I was back there, when Moses was put in the basket and sent down the river. I'm Lake King.
There's something about Little Chansey that has taken over. The song goes, taking a chance on love. We're going to change it. Taking our love to chance.
I've had so many great things in my life. I'm so incredibly successful. I'm rich. I got more money than I'll ever need. I'm curious. But it all pales in comparison with this little less than 10-pound person. I'm Lake King.
I'm talking to Sandy Koufax. I said, Sandy. He's Moses-like. Got a great split finger fastball. Sandy. I said, Sandy.
That's my son, Sandy.
Yeah. I'm talking to Tommy LaCorda.
I was scraping the chalk from the corners of my mouth, and I noticed that he's like a religious figure. He's like Moses.
And he's on the phone with Mark McGuire. I said, Mark, he's Moses-like. He's a very sweet baby.
I find myself paying more attention to my own health. That's why it's off to the Palm to have a nice steak with my friends Sid Young and Asher Dan.
I want to tell you something about Moses. He cries only for food when he needs to be changed.
Now, what other reasons do babies cry for? Except when they need food or they need to be changed.
That's why he's special, and he's like no other baby. I bet all the religious babies did that.
He does not whimper. He's easily passed from admirer to admirer.
And you can picture that, too, when he goes to the Palm.
Here's my baby. Want to hold him?
He gets passed from table to table.
Look how he's reacting to each admirer as he's passed along the baby Moses King.
You know, that's what it is. He's easily passed from admirer to admirer.
Well, go ahead. Admire him.
Come on, fawn over the baby.
Admire him with his black hand, his pug nose.
Moses King.
Baby Moses.
I'm leaking.
To me, sort of Moses-like.
I win the award of having a bigger ego today than Kathy Lee. Thank you.
You know, say what you will about her.
Right.
She goes on and prattles on about her kids.
Sure.
She never compared her kids to Moses.
He's almost Moses-like.
Man.
You know, come
on. He's sort of Moses-like. So he's not saying he's almost.
That's
he's
right.
Already sort of. He's the freaking kid is 5 weeks old. Moses-like.
That would mean I'm the father of a religious figure. Fantastic. I'm Lay King.
Endless troops of people come to visit.
Of course.
Every conversation includes him.
Good morning, Sean. All right, let's get the baby Moses up. It's time to pass him from admirer to admirer. God, unbelievable. Self-worship.
Unreal. Baby Moses.
Unbelievable.
All right, now I'm going to introduce you to somebody now on the telephone. My name is the modern-day Moses. Hello, come in, Moses.
Hi, this is Moses.
It's Moses. Moses Murphy.
Hey, Moses, can you hold on a second?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Dennis Murphy right there.
Dennis Murphy, he's fine. Dennis Murphy does beautifully when he's passed from admirer to admirer.
You know, to me, Dennis is sort of Moses-like. I saw Dennis's black hair and his pug nose, and within 30 minutes, I was holding all 275 pounds of him.
Dennis cries only for food or if he needs to be changed.
Dennis seems to change every day. A little line here, a little expression there. Is he following my every word? Is he a genius?
He sleeps well. He likes to eat.
At this count, he is 275 pounds. They say he's going to be very tall, which is not surprising when one looks at his mom.
The song goes, Taking a Chance on Love. We're going to change it. We're going to make it Taking Our Love to Dennis.
He'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We'll take a call from Bob.
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. How are you this evening?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great. I found the show completely by accident, and
okay.
I've been intrigued by the questions and answers, and I thought I'd give you a call.
Okay. What would you like us to answer?
Okay. I've had a condition around my mouth that my doctor diagnosed as something called Toodaloo-ass. And I'm not sure how I got that, but it involves chafing, and it gets purple and swelling, I guess, around like where the mustache and chin area would be, not necessarily on the lips.
Is an underlying fungal infection.
I don't know. I don't know what Tootaloo ass is, actually. If maybe you could tell me more about it.
Well, actually, you know what? I've seen it. And what I think about it is basically, it's not on the corners of the mouth where you have keloses, correct?
No, it's not.
It's on the top.
Yeah.
Do you shave there?
With the same razor that I shave my taint with. You think that has anything to do with it? And I borrowed it from Buzz Burbank, who I know has Farfalotus of the blow.
Okay. But, okay. Well, that was an interesting call. Blowball, that was really interesting.
The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
They are old and pathetic. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Today's Don and Mike Show is brought to you by Viramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. Doctor developed and clinically tested, Viramax works. Available at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. 1-888-TRY-VMAX.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Today's my birthday, and I'd like to get my birthday thanking.
Baby. How old are you today?
29.
Mm-hmm. Who's the celeb you most resemble?
I've been told Gloria Estefan.
Oh. Then you're all swarthy.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I got in trouble one time? I said that Gloria Estefan looks swarthy.
Right.
And like some...
Watchdog group.
Some Cuban-Mexican defamation league, like,
yes.
Gave me an award for being the most prejudiced guy in Washington, D.C. for saying that
she was swarthy.
She was swarthy, which is simply a statement.
Right, and we discussed that before. The Buzz already has a dictionary.
Webster says it simply means a darkish complexion or skin color. That's all it means. Darkish.
I'd say the same thing about Madonna. Mm-hmm. Oily.
Well,
swarthy.
No, it doesn't say anything about oily here. Just dark complected.
Swarthy. So you look like Gloria Estefan, huh?
Yep.
I remember all that. Remember it was in the paper and all that
stuff? Of course, the Washington Post.
Oh, they foam at the mouth over stuff.
They made a big deal. You know, racist disc jockey says Gloria Estefan is swarthy. And I got like some award like from Pedro somebody or something like that.
Bueno.
Hey, swarthy. All right, would you be a good girl, pull down your pants, please?
Okay.
And your underpants.
Okay.
Oh, there we are.
Merry Valentine time. I'll be using the frying pan. Mike, you going to be using the hams?
I'm going to be using the hams, yes. The longshoreman's big fingers ready to go to work.
All right, are you ready?
Yep.
Here you go. One. Two. Is that the best you can do? Three. I'm beating your ass with a frying pan, honey. Four. Five. I'm the Miami Sound Machine on your butt. Six. Seven. I'm doing conga on your ass. Eight. Nine. I don't think she appreciates it.
Oh, I know he always does that. He covers it over the butt off.
11. 12. 13. 14.
Ooh, yep. Harder.
Harder,
yeah,
she
sure.
Says.
Take out your hands, Mike. I'm up to 14. It's
okay.
Your turn.
All right, time to get these oyster shuckers to go to work. All right, are you ready? Here we go. 15. 16. 17. 18. 19. 20. 21. 22. 23. 24. 25. 26.
Ooh,
27.
Sounds like Nell.
28. 29.
29.
Oh,
thank
boy.
You.
29. A lot of work. We're both breaking a sweat here.
We're going to go away in time.
Here she is.
Nail, come, May. Nail and May. Yes, Nail and May. Going to tie in the way.
Jodie Foster.
Hey, in the
world.
As
Nell.
Got in the
spay nail. Hey, Rob, give me the other nail types, please.
Got in spay nail while the law. My spay nail while the law thought she comes.
Most people have forgotten Nell. Not us.
Mm-mm.
We love Nell.
That's right. Like the easiest role in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? She played a retarded woman.
Mm-hmm.
All right, not retarded, but she's like raised by apes or something.
Yes.
Who spoke in a made-up language.
Right.
Hey, apes. Yeah, gay apes.
Gay Planet of the Apes.
Gay apes. You ever hear the scene where Nell had bad diarrhea?
It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen, happy birthday to you there, Nell.
Thank you.
It's
as terrible as it is riveting.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was clipped out of the final motion picture, Nell. Here's Jodie Foster when her character Nell had very bad diarrhea.
She was so you know, non-worldly that right. she got into some bad berries.
Oh.
Sounds painful.
It was.
Great theater, though.
It's really painful at the end.
Now she's angry.
Now, Jodie Foster.
Why she'll soon be getting $20 million a picture.
Oh, absolutely. She deserves every bit of it. Jodie Foster.
That's the scene that, that was from the director's cut.
She gay, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's lesbo, right?
I don't know. There are rumors, like, you know, with every, it seems like every movie star nowadays, you know, rumors abound about that.
She had a baby.
There's been a persistent rumor about that. Yes, she had a baby. She's never named the father. She says she never will, so we don't know.
Turkey based her, right? That's who the father
is. That's the theory.
Or do you think it's like one of those things from The Big Chill, where, you know, she recruits some guy to actually do the deed? Mm-hmm. Hello.
Then he
Hi.
Goes away.
Don and Mike show.
Yeah, it's Don and Mike.
Killed. Hello.
Hi, fellas.
And
hey.
And eating.
Didn't that sound a little bit like Eddie Murphy doing buckwheat?
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't think so.
No, I'm losing you there. Not with you on that one.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, I just wondered, you can't...
Yep. Welcome to the weird world of CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I wanted. Thanks.
I know. Listen, double standards abound at CBS Radio.
Yes.
You know, the most important thing, though, do you enjoy it?
Oh, sure.
There you go. All right, thank you. I don't think he really enjoys it. I think he enjoys making calls like that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air right now. Hello.
Hey, what's up? This is John from Stockton.
Yeah, buddy.
Just want to let you know you guys kick ass. And also, I called earlier and that Peckerwood over there on the phone hung up on me.
Really? I would be Christine Peckerwood. Use her full name, please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, see, that's what it's going to be, see?
See, it's one of these callers. See, on a Monday. See, day after Sunday. See,
Tuesday. See,
now, see, yeah, sitting up all. See, yeah, now, yeah, see. Yeah, see, bad diarrhea. See, she talks like a monkey. See, yeah, yeah, see. Kong Kong. Kong Kong, Kong Kong, see. Kong Kong can cufflinks, see.
Yeah, see, that's what it's going to be, see.
See, Jodie Foster, yeah, turkey baster, see.
Or the man's dead in a trunk of a car being eaten.
See.
By baby rats, see.
See.
See?
See, she was in Contact, see? Also in Silence of the Lambs, see?
But originally
that movie was Ryan O'Neill, see? Where she played the little kids, see? And they went around selling Bibles, see? No.
No, that was Tatum O'Neill, see?
Tatum O'Neill, see? Sorry. Yeah, you're right. She was in Taxi Driver, see?
Taxi Driver, see? Robert Duvall, yeah. Played a hooker, see? A little baby hooker.
Robert De Niro, see? Not Robert Duvall.
That's right, Robert Duvall. I wish it was Robert Duvall.
Are you talking to me, see?
See?
Yeah, right, see?
See, Cybill Shepherd in that movie also, see?
See? Goodbye.
Bye.
It's weird to do that and, you know, start thinking about Taxi Driver. Makes your brain hurt.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Mike.
Fake Dennis Murphy call.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Dennis Murphy impersonator. How are you, Dennis?
Cool. How you doing?
There are a few of them out there. It's a cottage industry.
Hey, Mike.
Yes,
hi.
Dennis. Looking good.
Hi.
Hey, John.
Wait, yes.
John.
Yes. Yes.
Looking good.
You've officially tuned into the stupidest show on the air, everybody.
Absolutely, and I love it that way.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Lessons now.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can
yeah,
you hear me?
Pick up, please.
Oh, I'm on a carpool, but listen.
Right, pick up, please.
I can't pick up.
Goodbye. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
That had to be some of the best radio I've heard. That mix is the best.
Now, see, that's the kind of call I enjoy when you play the nail tapes. Unlike the guy that calls, hey, how come you can do this but you can't do that?
I thought the best tape that we had with that new sound effect was when we played the Monkees on Friday.
The Monkees, yes. But for my money, that tape, that new piece of tape for 99 works with almost anything.
Although we'll be able to put that tape with a lot of celebrities. We're going to have some Rosie O'Donnell today, the tape on the show today. If we're talking about the Chubb Club that I mentioned last weekend. We're going to be playing that in the background if we're talking about losing all this weight. Yeah, right, Rosie.
The Chubb Club.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
This is a southern chick calling.
Ooh. A southern chick?
Baby.
Yeah, I'm calling from Greenville, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Baby.
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 You're wearing a rope belt and cut-off jeans and a little checkerboard shirt tied at the midriff.
You Daisy Dukes?
No, I'm wearing spandex and hairspray.
Spandex, oh, the trailer park look.
Yeah. No, I never have lived in a trailer park.
Mm-hmm. Miss White Trash, 1999, and here she is.
So how are you guys doing today?
We're just doing fine. Bless your pee-picking heart.
Well, I'm just so glad. I can't believe I got through. I was just out driving around.
Yeah?
And just punched in the 1-800 number, and here I am.
Just out driving around? What you doing? Looking for company?
No, it's my job.
Now, as I said before, looking for company?
Yeah, I guess. No, I just go around and visit people all day. Uh-huh.
This is the lady that was on Alice, right?
Do what now?
Flo.
Kiss My Grits?
Yeah.
The lady that had the horseshoes on her ass?
And the big ball earrings?
No, I'm one of y'all's biggest fans.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
I didn't call to rag y'all about anything. I just called to say hi.
Well, hi right back at you.
Hi.
Thank ye.
I just like listening to y'all. I loved it when y'all had your Jerry tapes on last week.
I bet this woman is so easy.
I think there's a good chance of that.
Yeah. Well,
you heard she just drives around and visits people.
You're easy, right?
Yeah. But I'm fun, too.
Yeah, easy and fun.
I bet you like it in the bad place, don't you?
Do you?
In my pickup truck.
Do you like it in the bad place, though?
Oh, no.
Not in the bad place, dog.
You only like it in the good place?
Yeah.
Okay.
For a pickup truck.
In the bad place, isn't that like an exit only?
There you
very,
go.
Hey, very nice.
One of your people here.
Very nice. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You like it in the bathroom. No. No. It's like six syllables.
No. You know, hold on. Before we take any more calls, we have to do a break. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind. Be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.